mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome. I am not Alex Jones. I happen to be Jason Burmis, and I will be filling in today, Sunday, and then all the way through Thursday as Alex begins to venture off to the DNC. Very exciting stuff. In fact, he was promoting that on, I believe it was Peter Boyle's radio show. Maybe able to get that on a stream later today, and we'll be playing that, hopefully, in the third hour or fourth hour. But basically, he got on with Luke of We Are Change and Jonathan Elinoff of We Are Change, who will be joining us later today as well, against one of the founders of Recreate 68. And apparently it got very heated, so I'm very anxious to hear that. We're going to be talking about Building 7. It's all over the place. Made CNN last night. Of course, the mystery is solved. The mystery is solved. Apparently, you know, it wasn't scooped out. The fires weren't that hot, but a center beam expanded, and there was a disconnect, I believe, on the 13th floor, just one of these many, many columns, and zero resistance, just everything began to fall inward, and that's why the facade of the building fell with the internal structure, apparently, according to S. Siam Sunder and his ragtag band of NIST cover-up artists. The CNN piece does show our InfoWars reporter, Shane Geiger, who's going to be joining us as well today, asking part of his question. What they don't show is where they turn the lights off on him and basically do not answer his question. I mean, you could tell they don't answer his question from this New York Times article where they basically say that first they lie and say no one died in World Trade Center 7. We've disproven that on several occasions. There's mainstream reports of a couple people dying, but we all know Barry Jennings' first account, which is in Fabled Enemies. And you can check that out. I think the most of the Barry Jennings interview is posted with a little bit of context for a preview to Fabled Enemies right now. And remember, you can pre-order that at Infowars.com. It's going to be available at PrisonPlanet.tv on August 31st. But they say it was ridiculous and that there was no way, so they didn't even look at it. You know, it's skeptics have questioned if explosives were planted in at 7 World Trade Center, as well as the Twin Towers and the Pentagon. The Pentagon, you know, why do they even bring the Pentagon in? It's ridiculousness. As the Bush administration was seeking a justification to invade Iraq and Afghanistan, what started as a small number of such conspiracy theorists has only ballooned into a movement of sorts, largely fed by internet sites that promote the theories. And then they try to say, you know, 1 in 7 Americans just make up a number. I love how they just make up a number. Well, we're going to get into that big time today. I mean, man, you know, Wolf Blitzer gets up there and he's so smug and he's like, mystery over. We know why 7 fell. They didn't even have any steel from 7 to use in these tests. These are computer models made to do what they want. You know, I took 3D modeling and I'll bet anything that they did not rig any kind of physics into these things. It's just a model, and it represents it. I guarantee it's an animation. It's nothing more. Because the physics would have disproven it. It's wild. But you know what? The debunkers will now harp on this. This is the, I believe, the fourth or fifth version of the story. And this will be the new talking point for the debunkers of thermal expansion. Coming up in the next segment, we have Benjamin Fulford, the former Forbes editor, an expert of really, the Eastern ways, I guess. It's going to be interesting to talk to him after, of course, China having the Olympics out there. I don't know if everybody out there caught the opening ceremony, but very bizarre, very much blurred the line between reality and fantasy by them superimposing things on the screen, such as fireworks. I mean, we've all seen the lip syncing. That's kind of, you know, blasé. But they took it to another level. Plus, I want to get his take on the situation over in Georgia and Russia. It's Benjamin Fulford on the other side. This is the Alex Jones Show, InfoWars.com, PrisonPlanet.com.
Big Brother. government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
All right, folks, we are back. I am not Alex Jones. Once again, I am Jason Burmis, one of the creators of Loose Change. You can get that over at Infowars.com. And we got a new film coming out called Fabled Enemies. We'd like you to get that, too. It really goes into the international intelligence organization that carried out 9/11. Doesn't really focus on the physical anomalies. But it really does trash the report from Building 7 yesterday. Right now, joining us, we have Benjamin Fulford. He was the former Asian bureau chief of Forbes magazine. He's also written for the South China Morning Post and a variety of other high-profile publications. We're going to talk to him about global affairs today. How are you, Benjamin?
Fine. How are you?
I am very, very good. So right into it, I want to get what the Japanese people's take is on this Russia-Georgia situation. I mean, people are really in this country still believe that, you know, Russia is the demon and they attack Georgia mercilessly, and, you know, the bear is back. But we know that U.S. Special Forces were in Georgia. There was a sneak attack on South Ossetia, which really amounted to an attempt to ethnically cleanse the region, and Russia was just reacting.
Well, I mean, you know, the situation in Japan is a bit similar to the U.S., where you have a large, brainwashed public that just believes what their media is telling them, and you have a significant group of people who know the truth. And the people who know the truth know that this was an American provocation. But more specifically, they know that what's happening is we're dealing with a very, very dangerous situation where we have a group of neo-Nazis who control the U.S. who are in deep trouble, and they're trying to dig themselves out of this trouble by starting World War III, or trying to. And so the government and the elite people are aware that these people are cornered, they're dangerous, and they're trying to somehow create a provocation to start World War III and give them an excuse to impose martial law on the U.S.
Well, that seems to be what it's coming down to. I really hope that they do not achieve their goals. It seems like there might be a de-escalation there. But what you're telling me is that the general population over there also thinks that Russia is the aggressor in this situation and are really just not aware of what's going on?
Well, I think the aware segment is larger than in the U.S., but unfortunately the mainstream newspapers and television are following the U.S. line right now. I mean, in terms of the major media.
Well, I mean, you've had Fujita over there, who has, you know, gone before his parliament and basically brought up 9/11 truth. I was wondering what the situation is with that. Has that progressed any? I mean, obviously, the World Trade Center 7 NIST report came out yesterday. Of course, they said it was fire, even though it was hundreds of degrees less than they had previously thought, and they said that the damage to the building didn't really matter, and it was only one beam that detached after thermal expansion, but this caused a perfect symmetrical collapse.
Oh, I mean, look, you know, the people who are totally brainwashed will clutch any straw they need to, you know, keep their little illusionary world around them, right?
Mm-hmm.
But anybody who knows what's going on knows and has known for a long time this is a bunch of BS.
So do you think there'll be any progress over there on the issue of 9/11 truth?
Well, what's happening here over here is that we have a government that was set up by the CIA and the, you know, remnants of the military regime of World War II. And that regime is coming to an end. They're delaying. They can delay the next election until September of next year. But all opinion polls show that they are on their way out. So what's happening is we're headed for a major regime change here in Japan. And so the opposition party that has support of the majority of the population, they are aware of the situation, and there will be truth commissions and all that sort of stuff once this regime is out of the way.
Well, what kind of power do you think will be given to those kind of commissions? I mean, obviously, we won't have a war crimes tribunal much like The Hague. I mean, I just don't see that happening. I mean,
oh,
what do you think?
There will be a truth commission like they had in South Africa.
Mm-hmm. So now, basically, people will be named, but nothing will be done?
Well, you know, they'll be named and shamed, and when you say nothing will be done, I mean, you have to look at it this way. I mean, they won't be able to do this anymore. Mm-hmm. Now, here in Japan, the same people who were behind 9/11 have been financing certain pseudo-right-wing groups who function much like the German brown shirts did.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been murdering politicians and members of the media, as well as industrialists, in order to keep their sort of control over this country for the past 60 years. And that will be exposed.
Well, I certainly hope so, because we've only seen more censorship. I mean, in the last few weeks, InfoWars and Prison Planet have been blocked in large segments of the United Kingdom. Alex actually did a big contest to make viral videos to make people aware of this. And, you know, I see that crackdown happening in this country a little bit soon. I don't know what it's like over in Japan. How censored is the Internet right now?
Well, not very. I mean, the current regime is sort of like reluctantly following U.S. orders to the minimum necessary with the greatest delay possible. That's sort of their policy. They try to appear like they're following their official line without really wanting to do it. You know, that's what's happening here. You got to remember, the U.S. is sort of like the heart of darkness. Things look worse from the point of view of within the United States. Now, I didn't know today was not going to, Alex Jones was not going to be here, but there was an issue I wanted to bring up with him, because I feel that he has been manipulated by CIA propaganda when it comes to China.
Well, how so? You have the floor?
In particular, I wanted to discuss Falun Gong.
Okay.
Falun Gong is not a typical religious organization, okay? It's mm-hmm. a psyops. A very big one, and it's run by a guy called Elliot Abrams, who is a convicted criminal in the Iran-Contra affair, and you can prove that Falun Gong is a psyops just by looking at their financing. Look at their bi-monthly called Epoch Times and see who publishes it and why it's published in seven languages.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have Sound of Hope. It's a radio that they broadcast, which is helped by the Broadcasting Board of Governors. These are the same people as behind Voice of America, Radio Sawa, Radio Marquee. In other words, it's a CIA front
mm-hmm.
and put in place by Elliot Abrams. And then we have a television thing called New Tang Dynasty. And again, it's also CIA financed. So whenever Alec Jones says, you know, they are, the Chinese are a fascist regime and the U.S. is headed for the same path, he is unwittingly, you know, spreading CIA propaganda.
Well, I mean, I certainly don't want to be more like China. I feel like, you know, China is somewhat of a police state. The military and the police are one and the same. I mean,
Have you been to China?
I have not been to China.
Why you don't understand. You go to China, okay,
mm-hmm.
and hang out in the street with the Chinese and see what it's like to live there, mm-hmm. and then talk about it, okay? The fact is that when it comes to the average Chinese now, they are freer than the average American. Now, it is true they don't have this big parade and this big fake show called democracy as done in the U.S., but you're aware enough now that it's a totally rigged BS show in the U.S., right?
I mean, absolutely, but I just think that there has to be some kind of a separation between the military and police, and once you lose that, I mean, you get into dangerous territories. I mean, they openly sell dissidents' organs on the open market in China.
Okay, the thing about this whole, for example, Falun Gong dissidents' organs thing,
mm-hmm.
okay, that has been proven to be false, okay? There was a U.S. CIA fake story about that, and the Chinese invited the international media to visit the hospitals where this was supposed to be taking place and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It is true that for a while they were selling the organs of condemned criminals, okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And this became a source of major criticism, and they put an end to it, okay? But the idea that they're taking Falun Gong people and just selling their organs and torturing them, that has been proven to be false.
Well, I'll have to look into it. I mean, I'm looking at the Epoch Times right now. They're talking about organ harvesting China's labor
camps.
Yeah,
Epoch Times, again, I mean,
and you're saying
you're
that
reading
that is
a CIA different paper. Of course you're going to read shit like that. I mean, stuff like that. I'm sorry.
Okay. Well, you know, again, I don't know enough about it, and you kind of put me on the spot here for that, so I'll have to look into it. I got to tell you, I can't see myself comfortable in a more Eastern-eyed society. I see both cultures kind of gravitating towards one another, which scares me. I mean, in the last 20 to 30 years, I mean, we're talking about blue jeans, Coca-Cola over there, obviously a lot of, you know, Westernized eateries or whatever. And over here, I see more of a police state. And I'm sorry, I just don't know if I would be comfortable with, again, the military being the police, especially the way the military is set up in this country. I think that's a very thin line. And I know that China has kind of been endeared over the past 10 years, being beginning to be accepted in global organizations, you know, NATO, the UN, and now, you know, hosting the Olympics. So, you know, obviously, my beef is not with every Chinese citizen, and I truly don't know how much freedom a Chinese citizen has on the street, but I do know that they do have a lot of one-child policies.
The one-child policy is being phased out, but you know,
We'll come back to you on the other side. I'm going to give you the floor. We'd love to hear from you. I love your perspective. This is the Alex Jones Show. You go to Infowars.com right now and check out Loose Change, Final Cut, or Fabled Enemies. We'll be back after this.
Shackles. Don't want no shackles on me.
Me neither, Jimmy. We are back.
Don't want no shackles.
It is the Alex Jones Show, and ask and you shall receive, Benjamin. Alex has called in. He just can't get away from that radio. He loves to listen in. So, Alex, you have the floor.
Hey, guys. No, I'm the one that told my producer to get Benjamin back on. I like Mr. Fulford. And I'm here getting ready to go to Denver, packing up and taking care of business with a show on the background. And I think it's been misrepresented what I say and what I do. A similar thing is what Tarpley did last year when I had former CIA section chief and black op commander E. Howard Hunt's son on, St. John Hunt. And he released that tape on our show, and Rolling Stone also covered it, just saying as far as he knew, the chain of command went all the way to President LBJ. And people said, oh, Alex says it went to LBJ and no higher. No, that's a misrepresentation. With our witness and the tape and the written transcripts and affidavits, he's saying that's as high as his chain of command went. So that's as high, like in a mob organization, if we were investigating it, as high as our investigation went. Obviously, we know LBJ was a puppet to big banks and Texas Oil a lot more. Now, on the subject of China, China has medical firms that advertise they sell organs. They carried out the attacks in Tiananmen Square. Now, it's true China doesn't have as many face-scanning cameras, though they're putting in national ID cards. The Chinese government's announced that, People's Daily. And so the West has a bigger grid in place, a police state grid and secret police. They just haven't started the mass arrests and executions. But, I mean, you can go to Chinese government websites with the public executions and the lining the people up and shooting them in the work camps. Now, is China generally as bad as we're told? Certainly not. I've never even been to China. I've just interviewed hundreds and hundreds of experts, people who are even pro-China. I've had a lot of guests on, like yourself, Mr. Fulford, that, you know, tell us all about it. You know, us troglodytes over here that have never been around the world. The point is that instead of this, I mean, I understand you are the authority, but you're a guest here, and so we just have you here to give attention to your website and what you're doing. We're not spreading CIA disinformation. I mean, I say Putin's bad. I say China's bad. Iran does a lot of bad things. Most governments are evil and corrupt. So we're not saying U.S. good, China bad here. And so that, you know, that's my bottom line. I mean, you say they're not harvesting organs. I mean, that's just not true.
Well, no, they used to be doing it. Okay, that's a fact. And they investigated once it was reported, and they put an end to it. But their original thinking was, well, this guy's going to be executed anyway. Why don't we take his organs? And but then there was some corruption, and there was an investigation. You got to remember, it's a country of 1.3 billion people.
No,
a lot of funky stuff will happen among that many people.
No, I know, and the Chinese government says Mao was bad and evil and his wife was bad, and they imprisoned her, and most Americans don't know that, for killing 60 million. I know China's gone through changes. I know your buddies
were. Imagine if you were a child. Okay, during Mao's era, okay, you could not choose what you wore. You could not choose what you read for information. And you could not choose where you lived or what job you did, okay? That was how it was, a real police state. And that,
Benjamin, I'm just saying, I know history. I knew you'd say that, and that's true. So our modern image of China is the Great Leap Forward, the Cultural Revolution, the Little Red Book. They're becoming a more high-tech grid like we are. You're right, for a while, they've had riots there, as you know, when they put surveillance cameras in. The farmers with pitchforks are beating armed police. So I'm not disagreeing with you. I don't know who told you that. Okay. I was saying that. Huh?
Okay, anyway, look, the fact is that it is not a democracy. However, the people who now run the show, okay, they're the direct heirs of Deng Xiaoping and Zhou Enlai, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, Zhou Enlai was a member of the secret society, and they have beliefs that are very, very similar to Christianity, and they want to help the weakest and the strong and the poorest. And the fact is that, you know, for the vast majority of the Chinese, life has gotten a lot better over the past 20 years.
No, I know it has. And are you saying that it's the same secret society that launched the Boxer Rebellion?
Well, yes. I mean, what you have in China, it's a very interesting situation. They've always had an official public worldview, like the mainstream media you have in the U.S. But they've also had a secret worldview that has been opposed to it. And they've had this for thousands of years. And so when the official view becomes too out of touch with the people, there is a massive peasant revolt. There has been throughout history. And
well, that also happened in the Middle Ages in Europe, peasant revolts. That's what castles were built, of course, to protect against the local serfs,
right,
for the nobility. Look, I'm going to let you go, Benjamin. I've done is help you out, so I guess I'm evil.
But I would invite you to China. I'll arrange for you to have most of the access if you ever decide to make a trip to China, okay?
Yeah. Well, listen, I'm going to let Burmese take it back over, folks. So you guys take care.
All right, we'll be back after this. Infowars.com. All right, folks, we are back. It's the Alex Jones Show. I'm Jason Burmese sitting in with Benjamin Fulford. And Benjamin, I want to get your take on where China's power is going to be in the world, because I see them on a grander stage now after the Olympics. What do you think? I mean, Tarpley's one to say that our next big conflict is going to be with China. I hope that's not the case. I want to get your take on it.
I was obsessed with the idea as a youth that World War III would be between the West and China. I was sure of it. That's why I came over here when I was 19, and that was 28 years ago. So I've been living in Asia this much time. I speak Chinese and Japanese, and I've been visiting China. I went all over, and talked to their leaders and leaders in Japan. After all that time, I have come to the conclusion that China is not a threat.
Mm-hmm.
You got to think of China like a beautiful woman or a handsome man who wants to have children with you and make love to you, and they'll only hurt you if you hurt them first. And that is something that, you know, I didn't come to immediately. It took me decades of studying the place and being there to understand this.
Mm-hmm.
So from that perspective, and I think if you talk to anybody who's been out here for 20 years or speaks the language, they'll agree with you. They're not a threat.
Mm-hmm.
They really are not. And the regime that was under Mao was a New World Order type regime controlled by the Illuminati, and the current regime is not. I guarantee you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying they're perfect. You know, there's a lot of problems there, but right now, I'll be honest with you, I'd rather live in China than I would in the U.S.
Well, things are getting pretty scary in the United States. There's no doubt about it. I mean, we'll see what happens at the DNC, but it looks like it's going to be martial law there.
Well, here's what's happening with the United States, and this is very, very important. This is one of the reasons I wanted to talk to you people, is that on September 30th, okay, that's about a month from now,
mm-hmm.
the United States government is going to go bankrupt, according to many sources of mine. It's the end of the fiscal year for the U.S. government, and the Bush regime and the neo-Nazi faction that we you know as neocons are cornered, okay? They are in deep trouble. They have been isolated from the rest of the secret government of the West, and they're saying to them, look, you've stolen a bunch of money from England, you've stolen a bunch of money from Europe, you've stolen a bunch of money from the whole world, and you have until September 30th to pay back. They don't have that money, and they're hoping to use that occasion of bankruptcy to start martial law in the United States. And they have 190,000 mercenaries working for Blackwater who earn $1,000 a day, who are going to be the troops who are supposed to impose martial law in the United States. Now, the whole world is concerned about this, and I'm very concerned about this. And there are a lot of forces who are lining up to try to stop this from happening in the U.S. Now, they tried to start World War III over Iran, and that didn't work. They were now the talk is that they're going to try to provoke Russia into attacking Poland. And they put these outdated Patriot missile defenses in Poland as a provocation. But the real story is they want the Russians to attack so that they can unleash their Star Wars weaponry they have in space. And they want a few Russian nukes to get through before they start this whole, you know, operation of pulverizing Russia. But in other words, they are people who have survived by fomenting wars and selling weapons. And they are cornered, and the only way they can think of getting themselves out of the hole they're in is to start World War III. So the important thing is not to give them any excuse to start World War III. We have to get them to step aside peacefully. And to all those Blackwater mercenaries, I would like to say right now, if you really want to kill your own people, go ahead and do so. But we'll offer you twice the pay, twice what they're paying you, to stop them. That's an offer. You come to China, Mr. the head of Blackwater, whatever, we'll pay your mercenaries double, not to impose martial law on behalf of the Bush Nazi faction.
Well, it's definitely going to be a privatized military faction that does so if they do declare martial law in this country. I'm quite alarmed by the fact that Halliburton moved their main base of operations out of the United States and into Dubai. Do you think that these people will start to leave the country before this disaster happens? You're saying September 30th.
September 30th is a date a lot of people have been telling me is a crucial date because of this. Apparently, the BIS, the Bank for International Settlements, which is based in Switzerland, which is always been known as headquarters central of the secret government, mm-hmm. has split with the Bush faction and the Nazi faction that control the UK, Canada, and the United States and Australia at this point.
Like the continuity of government program, the shadow government, bunker government in this country has now parted ways with the Bush faction, even though in the 80s, George Herbert Walker Bush is the one that restructured the entire COG program through the National Programs Office into CIA, FEMA, all these other agencies, and it was really the birth of the sole source contract, only instead of actually just, putting it out there like Halliburton did, it was kept under wraps. It was really a beginning of a new era of black ops, and you're saying now that faction is out because they've just been too outlandish in the last 8 years?
Well, what I'm saying is that there's a significant group within the United States inside the intelligence establishment that are opposed to these people.
Mm-hmm.
And they're very concerned. They've been telling me that they have either arrested or killed 20 Air Force generals in the past month. And they're worried about a similar purge at the Pentagon. So, in other words, a lot of these people at the super secret programs who've been off, exploring the universe or doing whatever they had, not being too concerned, are suddenly very, very worried and opposed to these people. And they've been asking for help from the rest of the world. So what I'm saying is that the secret government of the U.S., the black ops people, are split now between what you could call the white hats and the black hats. I mean, enough of them are really, really worried about September 30th, and they really have had enough of these Nazis. And that's what they are. they discovered documents at the end of World War II written by the Nazis, which said, for us, the war never ended. And they've been plotting this, turning the U.S. into a fascist Nazi republic ever since. And as you know, Bush's grandfather was a major financier of the Nazis, and they brought over all the Nazis after World War II in an operation called Operation Paperclip. The ones who couldn't be brought to the U.S. were sent to South America. They've been plotting this for a long time.
Well, you're correct on that. There's no doubt that through union banking and others, Prescott Bush funneled Nazi money before and after World War II into this country. He was arrested under the Trading with the Enemies Act by J. Edgar Hoover. And yeah, you're correct again on Project Paperclip, which is still not all the way declassified. I mean, our entire open NASA program, I guess, is based on Nazi rocket technology. I mean, we brought a lot of them over. There's no doubt about that. And there's no doubt that they follow these Nazi-like beliefs. A lot of them come out of the School of Skull and Bones, where they literally eat off of Hitler's silverware. So, I don't really put anything past these guys. I just, obviously September 30th is not that far away. We're talking about a 1 month time frame here.
Yeah. I mean, the good thing about having this date is that it's a clear measure. I mean, you know, indicator, like it's not something vague, right? But the same people have been warning me since last summer, basically. Last summer there was, you might recall, constant sort of screaming about Iran, and they were stopped by the people in the Pentagon from attacking Iran. And now they're still trying to provoke something, but this time it's with Russia. But I believe that there is actually a majority in the CIA, the NSA, all these black ops people who basically are sick of these Nazis. So I do believe that there will be a coup d'etat against them. And that's the people who've been contacting me who want to stop these people before they do their crazy stuff after September 30th.
So do you believe, you don't even think there's going to be an election this year then?
Well, it all depends. I mean, apparently, the United States is in a very deep financial crisis, and the people who caused this crisis, who bankrupted the United States, do not want an election. They want martial law. They want to put Chertoff in as a dictator, and they're looking for an excuse. And if these people are allowed to get their way, there will not be an election. But if the majority within the intelligence communities and the Pentagon stuff stop them, then there will be an election, and eventually we'll have these people arrested, and they'll be, the brainwashed masses will finally be given access to the truth.
Well, my worry is, even with an election, I don't see Barack Obama saving us, man. I see him as another side to the same coin. I mean, he went down to Bilderberg right when it happened. He snuck away from the press corps for this. He's got Brzezinski, or had Brzezinski, on his team, of advisors. I think he's slick. He doesn't really say a lot. He seems to toe the party line. I feel like he wants expansion in Eurasia. And his speech in Berlin was downright scary, where he said that the global citizen would be expected to do more, not less, in the future.
Well, he's definitely a hired actor reading a script. Now, he works for the left wing of the CIA, which is the people under Brzezinski and their crew. But I don't think in the end of the day it really matters, because the U.S. is no longer going to be able to call the shots. You see, the reason why the U.S. is over or finished as a superpower is very simple. If you look at history, any superpower that relied on debt ended quickly. The Spaniards, their empire was based on debt, and it collapsed. The Swedish Empire was based on debt, and it collapsed. The United States has been asking the rest of the world to finance them for 40 years. Now, there was a long time when they believed the U.S. was a benevolent force. They liked the Americans, and they were happy to pay for them to be the world's police. But that situation has ended. They don't want to keep financing these people because they have become the world's number one source of terrorism. I mean, the United States is a rogue state. That's how the rest of the world looks at them. And they're saying, why should we finance these guys when they're out there creating diseases? They're creating fake terrorist crises all over the world. they have 800 military bases. I mean, they're a country gone berserk. And they rely on us to pay for it. And we say, well, no, let's not pay for it anymore. Let's ask them to straighten themselves out. That's what's been happening. Seen from outside of the United States, the world is very, very different.
You know, the only problem with that is, and I totally agree with you, that obviously the world no longer wants to finance that, is that we now live in an age which is very different than 50 years ago. I mean, our military power has really surpassed that of anything that has come before it. And like you said, we have private mercenary forces, and we also have a lot of technology at our disposal that other countries do not. Obviously, Russia is a nuclear power and would give us a run for our money, but you know, I don't see much of Europe being able to give us a run for money. I'm not even sure that when it all comes down to it, someone like China could give us a run for our money. I mean, I'm pretty scared at what these people will do when their back is right up against that wall and there is no more funding and there is that threat that they might actually have to go to an international tribunal. You know, will they just pull out all the stops with their military power?
Well, here's the point is this, is that unlike the case of the Nazis, nobody's going to be arrested for following orders. And they're not facing a death penalty or anything. They're just facing a loss of power. And what these people, you know, their secret flaw is this, is that their organization, this sort of Luciferian group that is behind the neo-Nazis, who call themselves neocons, is that they have a very, very highly centralized system of authority. So at the end of the day, all you have to do is assassinate about 5 old men, maybe 50, to put an end to it. So nobody's going to fight their hired mercenaries. They're going to go straight for the eye. We're talking Papa Bush, Bill Clinton. We're talking Chertoff, Cheney, Blair, the Black Pope in Rome. We're talking just a few people. So, you know, at the end of the day, you just got to take down those men, and it's finished.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I always see power, you know, corrupting itself. So say you take those guys out. I mean, this organization spans out. I mean, if you just look at, say, the Bilderberg Group, that conference, mm-hmm. that's 144 people. Now, those 144 people meet for a weekend. Now, a month or two later, they go to Bohemian Grove, at least a large portion of them do, and they disperse their agenda to 3,000 others. You know, and of course, this is compartmentalized, and you know, nobody knows the entire plan, but I see those other 3,000 people as clawing for power, and after, say, the top 50 or top 100 are no longer with us, you know, they'll just gravitate towards that power as well. I'm not so sure that's the way that we'll be able to defeat this thing.
Well, you know, that's an interesting point, and I think that you have to understand, and here's where I want to get back to the Chinese system, right, where ideally, and I'm hoping this is how the Chinese system will continue evolving, but it'll evolve in this way. It'll be a little bit like, you know, one of these contests they have to find the best singer or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody can try for it. And they can fight their way up to the top, sort of like a sperm fights its way to get into the egg, right? There's 100 million sperm per ejaculation, and only one gets to get into the egg, right?
Mm-hmm.
But they're each given the same chance to get there. If you have a situation where people can put out their ideas, this is how I think we should run the planet, this is how we should run the country, and it's free and open, and it's chosen in that manner, I think that is the future of democracy. It'll be a system where, sure, there will be an elite of a few thousand at the top, but it'll be a transparent, everybody can see them, and they can agree with them and follow them, or else they can fight them and have a chance to take over and kick them out of place. That is the sort of system I'm hoping will replace the one where they do it in secret, and you don't know what they're debating, what they're thinking. And that's the problem.
Well, obviously, I want as much transparency as possible, and I think that these meetings like the Bilderberg Group are quite treasonous. I mean, they violate the Logan Act and everything else. And you know, those are the ones that we know about. I mean, we don't know about all the think tanks out there that sit in an NSA room and they're just like top level generals and they sign off a piece of paper and they put out all these ideas. And then those ideas, say they come up with 20 of them, it's one guy that basically says, you know, I think that one's good. You know, I mean, if you look at the Northwoods proposal, for instance, I mean, they had about 13 or 14 different proposals. None of them were actually used for what they wanted. You know, Kennedy was then killed less than a year later. but they proposed a lot of things. Had they gone through with Northwoods, I highly doubt they would have done everything there. So, I mean, I'm with you, Benjamin. I want more transparency. You know, I don't think that they should be able to hide behind the veil of not only secret societies, but national security and classified documents. But when, how are we going to get there? I mean, a lot of people are going to propose that the only way we can get there, Benjamin, and I'll get your take in the last segment after this, is through one world government. I mean, and, you know, that's what I'm sitting here fighting. I don't want to see one world government. I don't want to see more power to the United Nations or a global body like that. I'm sort of a nationalist, but we'll come back and get your take. BenjaminFulford.com, Infowars.com. All right, folks, it's the Alex Jones Show. I am Jason Burmis, subbing in for the rest of the week. I'll be on the Sunday show, and I'll be through Thursday at the DNC with Alex reporting live. We are in our final segment with Benjamin Fulford of BenjaminFulford.com. If you want the English version, it's /indexenglish.html. And really, I just want to get your final... I mean, you've said a lot here today. I mean, if what you say happens on September 30th, we could be in for an entire global restructuring, really. And, it's pretty scary, but why don't you just wrap it up for us? What are your predictions for the next 6 months, Benjamin?
Well, I don't want to predict right now because we're headed for some very turbulent times, and it's not exactly clear how it will work out. But my overall understanding is that we're going to come to an end of the secret government of the West ruling the planet. Now, you talked about a world government, mm-hmm. and I'll be honest with you. I'm actually in favor of a world government. However, I don't want a world government controlled in secret by a bunch of inbred European and American families that, you know, manipulate the rest of humanity for their own personal ends. But we do have some problems on this planet that can only be solved if we think of us as living on one planet and not as separate.
Well, what do you think those problems are?
Well, for example, we've had something like 20 to 30% of all living species on this planet gone extinct in the past century. That's a problem. You have these oceans that nobody has authority over being overfished, and so we're soon going to run out of fish in the oceans. We have 50 million people dying a year of starvation. So we need a very minimal structure so that, for example, countries, when they have a problem with each other, they don't go to war, they sue each other. There's an international court where you can sue if they think they're messing with you, and you can trust that court. And then you need an international organization to take care of the environment. And finally, something to step in when people are dying in large numbers in order to stop them from dying. Very minimal architecture is needed.
Well, let me just take issue with the environmental thing. You know, first of all, I'm not, you know, one of those guys that thinks we should pollute the environment all over and do whatever we want. There should definitely be regulations. But over the last 20 years, I mean, I can say in my personal life, I was fear-mongered as a child into, you know, global warming and all these horrors. And by the time I was going to be 30 years old, it was going to be 10 to 20 degrees hotter and maybe even worse than that. And now they're talking about a carbon footprint and us paying this carbon tax and limiting our water and saying, you know, if you have too much garbage or you have two cars, you're going to be paying taxes on those. I see that as a huge mode of control, and I see a lot of people in this country, people like Christopher Dodd and others, proposing that as actual legislation, and to me that's totally frightening and totally unnecessary.
Okay, well, you know, the global warming thing is a great con job by the nuclear industry, okay, to create the image that nuclear technology is green and environmental friendly. And they have hijacked the environmental movement for very sinister ends. And I, you know, look, the amount of carbon dioxide that humans have added, so-called added to the environment since the beginning of industrialization is 100 ppm, which is 1/10,000th of the atmosphere. So anybody out there who wants to, they can do this experiment. Take a thermometer, go to a bar, light a cigarette. Okay, that's COT that's coming out of the end of that cigarette. And see if the bar gets hotter. It won't, okay? So I don't subscribe to that CO2 nonsense, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I deeply regret the environmental movement has been hijacked by these nuclear interests.
90% of them are into that. That's the problem.
Yeah, what I'm talking about is a third world farmer who has a whose only choice is to burn down rainforest or watch his kids starve. And I'm saying, let's give this guy fertilizer and stuff so he doesn't have to burn down the rainforest and kill unknown species.
All right, Benjamin, you can't be accused of being boring. Thank you for joining us. It's the Alex Jones Show, Infowars.com, PrisonPlanet.com. We'll be back after this.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome. It is the 22nd day of August 2008, a Friday. And what an interview there, boy. Fireworks flew. I'm just not a one-worlder, I guess. I guess the road to hell is paved with good intentions, and I just don't see how global government is going to work without being totally tyrannical and corrupt at some point. It may start out nice, who knows? But it is not going to end up nice. It's going to end up on a crazy technocratic society, in my opinion. I mean, I'm sitting here, and let me go through this little article, because it's just totally ridiculous. We were just talking about the carbon footprint, and we are totally being conditioned to live with less and pay more. Okay, eco communities living the green life. It's out of CNN Technology. It's out of London, England, and they're going to tell you it's not so bad. It's great. And they show you a couple pictures. Your houses are right on top of each other, just like any little community, little suburban area. The term eco community might conjure up an image of bearded hippies tending an Altamont before sharing a mung bean stew. But as today's urbanies become more concerned about the reducing their carbon footprints. Remember, they have to reduce that carbon footprint because we're all evil because we live, we breathe, we have cars, God forbid. Some are finding that modern eco-communities offer them a way to live substantially without foregoing their home comforts. See, it's not that bad. Join an eco-community. So they're going to mandate how you live, how close your house has to be to another one. There'll be no private property. It just totally makes me sick. That's just one example, you know. And as far as there not being an election, I'm sorry, I really do believe there is going to be an election. I believe they're going for broke with Obama. All right, and now they're putting out his short list of candidates. He's got a short list now. Some of the people I recognized to be his VP were carbon footprint guy Chris Dodd. You know, he's proposed it. People like Wesley Clark, who Alex ranted about earlier this week, not a good guy. Of course, Joe Biden, Bill Richardson, who was in a lot of the Democratic debates there. Out of New Mexico, Sam Nunn, Chuck Hagel, we're all big buddies of Chuck Hagel, Chet Edwards, and that Bain gentleman they've been talking about. I guess Kathleen Sebelius is another one, too, but we'll see. Actually, is Kathleen Sebelius? Yes, she's the Kansas governor. I'm pretty sure she's the Bilderberg chick. You know, he might shock the world. And instead of Evan Bay or Joseph Biden or Tim Kaine, go with Kathleen Sebelius. That would not shock me. I could see that happening. Of course, Hillary's on the list. I forgot to say. Of course, Hillary is on the list. So for the next hour, folks, I'm going to be taking your calls and playing some clips. Maybe talking a little bit of Seven. But before I talk a little bit of Seven, we're going to play a clip out of Terror Storm in the next segment. We're also going to play this clip where the CNN reporter has to criticize the TSA because he's on a terror watch list, and then he goes through three other gentlemen who obviously should not be on a terror watch list, and they're always going, oh, we're so inept. Oh, we just can't do anything right. But if you give us your blood, we'll do it. Chertoff will sit there and be like, oh, we can't really make sure unless we have some biometrics. I mean, it's so evil. It's like, well, you already took the one step. You're already going through the TSA. You already have to have an identification. But now, you know, we're going to train you to be on the good time fly list, you know, the frequent flyer, the not a threat passenger list. And that'll be easy. All you got to do is give us your fingerprints and maybe just a a little bit of DNA and a retina scan, no big deal. And if you want to just forego the whole process together, altogether, and just go through a little whoop and drop off your luggage, you not have to go through the whole thing and be screened, maybe you'll take this nice little chip we'll put in you. So we'll be back with that CNN report and a little bit of terror storm on the other side. It is the Alex Jones Show. I'm Jason Burmes. Fabled Enemies is dropping September 1st. That's when we're going to be mailing them out. And folks, you can see a little sneak peek on the internet right now. You can see two of the trailers. We're going to be releasing more as the week goes on. I'm Jason Burmes, Infowars.com.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
All right, folks, we are back. It is the Alex Jones Show. I'm Jason Burmes. You can get at me at myspace.com/Jason Burmes, or you can add my film, Fabled Enemies, myspace.com/Fabled Enemies. Of course, we have a couple trailers out there. We'll probably play one or two of those later in the show. But I want to play this clip where a CNN reporter is on the terror watch list. It's about 4.5 minutes. And not only is he on the terror watch list, but so is a 3-year-old child. See, they kind of make it funny, but really listen, because they want more and more and more. And their excuse is always, we're inept. So let's go to that clip.
Just crossing the half hour, the next time you find yourself at the airport ticket counter, you might be in for a surprise because you could be on the terror watch list. The new ACLU report says 1 million people are on it. One of them, Drew Griffin of CNN's Special Investigations Unit. And as he tells us now, while the threat posed by many of those on the list is imaginary, the hassle that they go through is all too real.
Washington attorney Jim Robinson is a former assistant attorney general. He's a former U.S. attorney from Michigan. He holds a high-level government security clearance, and he's a former law school dean, a husband, a granddad, an American. And he gets delayed, if not stopped, every time he gets on a plane. Why? Because Robinson is also one of the estimated 1 million names now on the terror watch list.
So it seems, for years now, despite my best efforts to get off.
This week, Robinson joined the ACLU in Washington to mark what the group calls a ridiculous milestone. 1 million names the government believes match known terrorists. And according to the ACLU, 20,000 new names, like Robinson's, are added every month.
That means there must be about 950,000 to 75,000 people who don't belong on this list who are somehow caught in the mire of doing this.
What does it mean? It means because of his name, he can't check into flights electronically. He can't check bags at the curb, can't check in at one of the new speedy airport kiosks. Every time he travels, he and 1 million others need to wait in line.
And see somebody who then has to make a call. And determined that apparently I am not the James Kenneth Robinson who is the cause of my being on the watch list.
We're going to Chicago this morning.
Don't think it can happen to you. It's happening to me.
On the watch list.
A watch list?
So how did I get on this list? Well, the TSA is adamant it's not even me, even though it is me getting stopped at the airports. The TSA says it's the airline's fault. The airlines say they're just following the list provided to them by the TSA. And coincidentally, this all began in May, shortly after I began a series of investigative reports critical of the TSA. 11 flights now since May 19th.
Who's on the watch list, also?
On different airlines, my name pops up, forcing me to go to the counter, show my identification. Sometimes the agent has to make a call before I get my ticket.
It's a hassle.
What does the TSA say? Nothing, at least nothing on camera. Over the phone, a public affairs worker told me, again, I'm not on the watch list, and don't even think that someone in the TSA or anyone else is trying to get even.
So if there's any thought or shadow of a thought that TSA somehow puts you on a watch list because of your reporting, it is absolutely fabricated.
Jim Robinson, who served two Democratic presidents, says he's trying not to think politics is involved either.
I don't feel safer because I have to go through this hassle, I can tell you that.
The ACLU's technology chief, Barry Steinhardt, says the list is so secretive and yet so shoddily put together, it's hard to tell how it's being used or abused.
Truth is, we really don't know how much is bureaucratic ineptness and how much is, you know, and how much is bureaucratic, how much is political retaliation.
Even more frustrating than being on it is trying to get off. According to the TSA, you fill out a form online, which I did on May 28th. You then copy personal documents, fill out another form, and send them to Homeland Security, which I also did on May 28th, and then apparently you wait. Robinson has been waiting now 3 years.
On May 2nd, 2005, I filled out all their forms, made a copy of my passport, my driver's license, my voter's registration card, put it in a package, and sent it off to TSA.
All right, cut the clip.
Never heard back.
See, there you go. He did everything they asked him. See, this is a clip before the Sheriff's Off one where they followed up, and the guy is still on the TSA's watch list. So is Drew Griffin. On top of that, two other people with the name James Robinson, including a five-year-old boy, are also on that watch list. But everything's going to be okay once you give up your blood, your biometric thumbprint, and your eye scan. Then they'll be able to know. Yeah, right. All right, so I promised callers we're going to take them. Let's go to the one in Germany. Let's go to Maria in Germany. That's a far, far, far away. Maria, you with us?
Hello?
How are you doing?
Yeah, fine. Yeah, yeah. You know, these biometrics, the under Hitler even, I mean, they checked in Tibet. They checked humans for all their facial characters and stuff, and then they were beaten the Aryan race, which is, I think, the clones, the whole thing, you know, Bush and the lot, and the English queen. I think it mainly comes from the English queen, which has bred her own following. You know, there's people, I used to live in England, I also lived in America, you know, there's people that are definitely different.
So you're saying that they're using biometrics? I mean, that's the plan. Thank you for the call. I mean, obviously they want to expand biometrics to everywhere. Over in London, I think it's something like 300 plus cameras a day that photograph and tape you downtown. It's probably more than that. I think that was like a 2006 number. And you're seeing that expansion now in the States. You know, Alex had the, the Austin Sheriff in here, Aceveda, and he was talking about, you know, plate scanning cameras. Let's put them in. You know, we're just going to get speeders with them. Yeah, right. Come on. They're going to take a database. You can still watch on the Discovery Channel all the things that happen in Europe, how they use the facial recognition over there. So it's done quite a lot. It's expanding. And I see it coming into the airports rather quickly. I mean, we already have these. Basically, you're shown naked. I mean, it's an X-ray, but it's not an X-ray that sees your bones. It's an X-ray that goes around the entire contour of your body, whatever clothes you're wearing, whatever devices are on you at the time. All right, let's jump to J.D. in Texas. What's up, J.D.?
Yeah, Jason, is Benjamin still with you?
No, he dropped after the hour. What were your thoughts on that interview?
Well, when I heard him speaking, all I could think about was Senator Traitor McCain.
Mm-hmm. And why's that?
Well, I just wanted to tell him if I decided to betray my country, I could live very comfortable in China also. Just like McCain did when he was in North Vietnam. He lived like a king compared to the other prisoners out there. And it's very obvious that Benjamin is not a Christian, and because he has no compassion for the thousands of and millions of Christians that was murdered and persecuted in China.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I guess that he has this whole, you know, perspective of China living there for so long is kind of endeared by the beauty of the country. But I'm sorry, I just can't get down with their government, although it's been more westernized. Again, the police are the military there. That is not good. Yes, they were. I mean, he's contesting whether or not they still are harvesting organs. You know, I'm going to have to look into it before I make any kind of decision. But any state that would harvest the organs of prisoners and dissidents, you know, to sell on the black market can't be a good one. One-child policies? I mean, these things sound crazy to me.
Well, that's the reason I say evidently Benjamin is not a Christian, or he'd be bringing these things up, and he wouldn't be living in China.
All right, JD, I thank you for the call. Let's jump to Elliot in Ohio. Elliot, are you with us?
Yeah, Jason, how you doing?
Good, man. What's popping?
Well, I remember actually watching one of Benjamin's little lectures, or just a video he posted online and maybe on his website, and he was explaining how he's researched and been a part of, or at least been able to participate and get firsthand like observations of the secret societies of the East.
Mm-hmm.
And in China, apparently, he was saying that the Chinese and the Eastern secret societies are now vying for power, really, with the West, with the Rockefellers, with the Rothschilds, because the Rothschilds, the Rockefellers, and all the secret societies that boil down from them are now trying to, in a sense, engulf and take over and achieve more power than the secret societies in the East. So what he said when he's like, we'll pay you like double, you know, for the mercenaries, yeah, it may be good. I mean, just, you know, for a quick fix to get us out of, you know, martial law.
Mm-hmm.
And again, you have to be careful, because if they are vying for such a power, if they still want one world government, and you have mercenaries now working for China, now you got Chinese mercenaries in the U.S. government. So,
well, that's the point I was trying to make to him, that this is all about globalization anyway, and, you know, this is in essence, about a one-world order, and he goes and tells me that he's in favor of that, and I think that's a very dangerous proposition. I don't think people understand how evil people can be, especially people at the top. Continue.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, like, it's just, you know what? I will agree with him on this. It would be nice to have some help if martial law ever came in to play and civil unrest took form. It would be nice to have some assistance from black ops, you know, ex-military, like, people versus us just being, you know, a militia. We can have some military men in there. But then again, right afterwards, you got to crack down. You got to make sure you are prepared to fight against them, because I don't trust
mercenaries.
No, me neither.
Elliot, I thank you for the call. We'll be back after this. Infowars.com, PrisonPlanet.com. I'm Jason Burmis. We'll see you after the break. We are back at the Alex Jones Show. I am Jason Burmis, sitting in for Alex for the rest of the week, doing the Sunday show, going through Thursday. But remember, folks, he's going to be down at the DNC. And not only is he doing the DNC, but he's also doing a couple of screenings of Truth Rising with Luke Radowski. I mean, it's going to be huge at the DNC. And like I said, Alex today earlier debated the head of Recreate 68. And hopefully we can get a clip of that. If we can't get a clip of it today, we will definitely get a clip of it for the Sunday program. And I am just psyched up for the DNC. I think there's going to be big fireworks there. I mean, they have geared up for a total police state down there. We're talking beyond rubber bullets, beyond riot gear. We're talking microwave weapons. We're talking black helicopters. We're talking detention centers, much like the RNC in New York. But, you know, Jonathan Elanoff, as great as he is, was able to get a permit at the park right across the street. So hopefully we will not be put into some lame free speech zone. In fact, hopefully, we will have our voice heard at this conference. From what I hear, Nader's going to be there and a ton of other people. Just a ton of other people. I mean, obviously, Kucinich is going to be there, which is interesting. I know that McKinney is going to be down in New York. Another event Alex is going to be going to is New York City this year. And before I take some more callers, I want to let everybody know that yes, John McCain and Barack Obama will be in New York City, probably close to Ground Zero. I'm not sure where it is yet, but they will both be in New York City on 9/11 to grandstand. Let me read it. U.S. presidential candidates Barack Obama and John McCain have agreed to speak at the New York City Forum on Public Service to be held on September 11th, the organizer said Thursday. You know, Manny Badillo, if you're listening, try to get tickets to this. You're a family member. You need to be there to ask some serious questions. you know, McCain's dodged every single one. Luke did get him really good in Truth Rising. It's also a YouTube clip where he asked him, what do you think about the 9/11 Commission report, seeing as they came out and said, yeah, we were set up to fail. And he just gives, well, oh, well, he got me there. All right, let's jump to some more callers. You know, we know about the McCain and Obama grandstanding, the big show. It kind of makes me sick that they're going to go down to New York, but maybe I'll get lucky and see one of them, get them on camera. All right, let's go to Eric in Philly. Eric, what's on your mind?
Hey, Jason, big fan, buddy.
Thanks, man.
I really think Alex made a good decision having you fill in for him. I went to the InfoWars store, and I saw something very outrageous.
Let's hear it.
Abel Denny's Truth Rising and Loose Change Final Cut for $39.85.
What's that, like 20 bucks on, off?
That is, those films on DVD, the quality, man. People, if you haven't seen them on DVD, man, I'm telling you, especially if you have like a home theater or something, you really get into the film.
Well, thanks, man. I mean, you know, those movies are really good, and I'm a huge fan of Truth Rising. I didn't have a lot to do with it other than getting some footage and just being down here while they were editing it. I got to do the cover art or whatever. But, I mean, it's just an excellent way to bring other people in. I mean, some people aren't going to be as receptive to, as you know, to A Road to Tyranny. But when they see, hey, wow, this has Rosie O'Donnell and Martin Sheen and George Carlin, and they're all expressing these views I've never heard before, and it's just edited together really well, and you have family members in it, it's just an awesome movie. And, you know, Loose Change Final Cut, I mean, it's the end-all be-all on the physical anomalies and other things on the World Trade Center. I mean, we take the official story apart in a way that had never been done before. Even with the second edition, we didn't have as many interviews, we didn't have as many documents, we didn't have, you know, as much from the 9/11 Commission. And now Fabled Enemies really goes into the international spy ring, folks. It really goes into the Israeli operatives, the Saudi Arabian funding, the funding from within this country, the continuity of government program that was in place in drills on the morning of 9/11 and then put into power that day. You know, I talked a little about the National Programs Office with Benjamin Fulford. But all that stuff, man, thank you so much for promoting the flick. What else is on your mind, Eric?
All right. Also, I go on Skype and I do the Skype cast, you know, talk to people around the world. And there was a Skype cast yesterday that was parading the new NIST report, saying how mystery solved, you know. So I went on there and I started debating with the guys, and then they started sending me the link to NIST. Oh, you got to watch the video, which the proof. And I mean, I posted it on your MySpace, but you look at these videos and I mean, it's like, come on.
Yeah,
how dumb do they think we are? It's it looks so phony.
You've seen the, you know what I'm talking about. This is the 3D modeler now showing where the one column snaps off and then two of the sides on the things begin to cave in internally. And they basically say that the bottom middle of the building is what went first. But there's no physics applied to the actual models. It is simply an animation put together. I thank you for the call, Eric. We're going to get deep into Building 7 later with Shane Geiger, who went all the way to Maryland to ask a question only to have the lights turned off on him. Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.tv are the websites. We'll be back after this.
Rumors spreading round in that Texas town about the shack outside the games. And you know what I'm talking about. Just let me know if you wanna go to that home out on the range. I got a lot of nice girls.
We are back. We're taking calls. It's the Alex Jones Show. I just want to thank Alex for all the opportunities he's given me over the last few months, from hosting the show to helping me put together this film, Fabled Enemies, that you can order right now at Infowars.com. It's going to be available at PrisonPlanet.tv sometime on August 31st. We'll see when we launch it. Look for some new trailers and teasers coming up. But I also want to take this opportunity to thank our sponsors, because without our sponsors, this show is just not possible, and especially eFoodsDirect.com. eFoods is a storable food company. They have the best storable food at the best price. And on top of that, who knows, folks? I mean, let's hope Fulford's completely wrong and we don't have a total economic collapse, and let's hope all these other doom and gloom people are completely wrong, but we just don't know. I mean, out in New York, again, they're putting a cap on the amount of grain and rice you can buy at BJ's. I mean, that's craziness. I never thought I was going to live in a country where they were actually going to be putting food caps on. And, of course, we know that food prices have just shot through the roofs, along with oil. So there's no reason that you shouldn't give the good people at eFoodsDirect.com a call at 1-800-409-5633. That is 1-800-409-5633. All right, we're going to keep taking your calls, and really any subject you want. Of course, World Trade Center 7 NIST is a hot topic. Elinoff will be on at the top of the next hour. We're going to have Geiger on about a half hour after that. Of course, Bob Chapman will be popping in for his economic forecast for the next few weeks, the internationalforecaster.com. And then it is my pleasure to have Richard Gage on in the last half hour again to discuss World Trade Center Building 7 and the NIST report. All right, let's go to Guy in Florida. Guy, are you with us?
Yes, sir. How are you today?
Good, man. What's on your mind?
Hey, man, I just wanted to first thank you for Loose Change. I mean, that is one of the greatest videos ever made, you know?
Well, thank you, brother.
But I also just wanted to mention, Alex said on the show maybe 2 days ago, he was bringing up the IMF talking about an economic depression is definitely imminent. Can you speak upon that? Or?
I mean, it's a definite possibility. I mean, when you borrow all of this money and you continue to get into these international conflicts. I mean, let's just break down the Georgia situation right there. In order for that to happen, we first, like Paul Craig Roberts said, we had to surround Russia. All right, so we've been doing that over the past few years with our NATO allies. You know, NATO is supposed to be this peacekeeping force. No, they're puppets of this globalist structure. So on top of that, we bring in all this radar equipment. Then we bring in U.S. Special Forces. You know, I mean, we're thinning out on how much we're actually going to be able to afford in these military conflicts. I mean, you look at Eurasia and we're trying to provoke an attack with Iran. On top of that, the housing market here is no good. We're building a Trans-Texas corridor. So, yeah, I could see them pulling the plug. I think they want to do it in a elongated period of time. I don't think that they want to have a 1929-style crash. I highly doubt that on September 30th, the world is going to change and we're just going to have no money in this country. But I think that we will see a gradual slide down this road. You know, I think Alex is correct in his analysis that they'll throw us a few bones here and there by, you know, cheapening gas at the pump only to raise it again next summer and for us to fall deeper into decline. So, yeah, man, I mean, I pray to God that we're not going to just hit that 1929-style depression, but I do think within the next 4 or 5 years we're going to be taken down to second-world status. If I don't think third-world status, because I think that Mexico is going to be brought up, and obviously that'll be the merger for us, Mexico and Canada, and possibly a parity on currency. I mean, for those that don't know, our dollar is now worth less than the Canadian dollar after years of dominance, and the peso is creeping up. So, you know, I hope I answered your question, Guy. You got anything else in your mind?
No, brother. Thanks.
You got it, man. All right, let's jump to Andrew in Oklahoma. Andrew, you with us?
Hey, Jason. How's it going?
Good, man.
I listened to your segment there with the CNN reporter Drew Griffin.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, in fact, my name, Andrew Griffin, part of Radio Free Oklahoma up here in Oklahoma City. And I went to the airport here within the past month, and when I got to the counter, I was flying to Michigan, and there were some eyebrows raised when my name came up, and I was just wondering if that has anything to do with Mr. Griffin's, you know, investigation into the TSA, and then my name popping up, and then they're having to cross-reference my...
It could be, or you got a Patriot radio show. It could be just that. I mean, I don't get flagged at the airport, but then again, similar names do, and, that, you know, in the follow-up segment, they talk about how, well, if I want to get around it, I sign in as D. Griffin, or, you know, I put in my middle name, and sometimes I don't get flagged, but other times I do, so... You know, it's very possible in the follow-up to this story, too, there were three James Robinsons, one of which was a five-year-old boy. I mean, can you imagine? And the woman actually, the mother actually says, you know, I have found a way to get around it rather quickly. And they're like, well, what's that? Well, I just tipped the guy. I just give him a 20, and then they just move on. I mean, not that it isn't ludicrous enough for them just to move on because he's a child, but then you have to tip him? I mean, it's disgusting.
No, it is. And ironically, one of our fellow Patriots here in Oklahoma with Tulsa Truth, Jim Robinson is his name, and you know, I was just wondering if that had any connection to it either, because you know, we're pretty outspoken in the Patriot community here in the Sooner State.
Mm-hmm.
And so these things are disconcerting, to say the least.
Well, when you have a million people on that list, there's no way that all of them are quote-unquote terrorists or even Al-Qaeda or extremists. You know, they're average people, and they're probably people that are threats to the system. I thank you for the call, man. I mean, God knows who's on that list. I mean, I would be foolish to think if my name wasn't on a list or Alex's name wasn't on a list. But again, I don't like to live in fear and paranoia. And I think that they put a lot of people on that list that they know are not only not dissidents, but have no way into terror just because they make it that inconvenience. And they say, oh, well, in order to fix the system, everybody's just going to have to give their blood or their thumbprint or their eye scan, you know, for this new surveillance society. They're basically acclimating us to it. All right, let's jump to Mike in North Carolina. Mike, are you with us?
Yes, I'm right here. I want to comment on that you and Alex are doing a great, fantastic job. I've been involved in this for about 2.5 years. And the one thing that really, really did it for me wasn't either one of the trade towers, but it was World Trade Tower number 7. Number 7 did it for me. I accept that the planes were used as diversions for the implosion of both of the other trade towers.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the one plane that was shot down in Pennsylvania,
mm-hmm.
I haven't really dug in deep yet. I think it was supposed to hit World Trade numbers.
All right, let me answer that for you. A lot of people speculate that that other plane was on its way to 7. Well, in Fabled Enemies, I show you that there was not just, you know, the World Trade Center and Pentagon as targets, but there were up to 11 targets that day. They got a list at the Maryland Police Department that morning before any attacks had occurred. The World Trade Center, the Pentagon, Sears Tower were on it, the Baltimore World Trade Center, and of course some of those actually came through. We know that because Paris Glendening, the governor, got on Fox News and talked about it. It's in the film. On top of that, they had hijackings coming out of Alaska, coming out of Canada, all over the place. They thought that there was a bomb on board Delta 1989. There was a serious threat against Air Force One that morning, against the White House. And in fact, in early reports, they let it go that the quote-unquote hijackers or terrorists or whoever committed this were actually decoding all of the top code words for the White House, the Pentagon, the CIA, the FBI, that morning. So I would say this. Could World Trade Center 7 have been a target? It's a possibility. Is it a probability to me? I don't think so, because it's kind of low on that skyline. It would have been a very tough hit, even with, let's say, a remote aircraft. Now, am I saying that's not a possibility? No. I think they thought they were going to get away with it, because, again, this was a huge spook house. We're talking the largest CIA base outside of Langley, Virginia, the largest Secret Service office in the world. And I think that they thought they were just going to be able to bring it down, that there would be enough damage, enough smoke, that they could blow it up. I mean, there is the possibility of that plane hitting the building, but I think it's a low one. Go ahead.
The Dr. Shyam Sunder, I watched it yesterday for World Trade Center number 7 report,
mm-hmm.
and his report and final conclusion about the office furniture burning in the buildings, in that building, which caused thermal reaction on I think it was number 78 of the core, actually
thermal expansion,
and
yeah.
Thought that the tumbling down of World Trade Center number 7, I think that is the lowest low as anybody can go on that conclusion.
Oh, it's terrible, but I'll say this. He's the same guy that went to Popular Mechanics, said they had photographs and video that no one else did, said that a quarter of the building was scooped out. I have the quote again, in Fabled Enemies, where he said about 25% of the building, or 10 stories, was scooped out of World Trade Center 7. Well, we bring you inside World Trade Center 7. We show you the south face of World Trade Center 7. Didn't happen. They had to retract it. They even had to say that the damage caused by the collapse of World Trade Centers 1 and 2 had little to no effect on why the building actually went down. And if you honestly believe that thermal expansion of the interior columns for one column on the 13th floor to detach caused a symmetrical vertical collapse in under 7 seconds while I have about 5 or 6 bridges that I'd love to sell you after the show. Thank you so much for the call, Mike. I'm glad that Building 7 woke you up. It's what I carry around on my phone when I go to tell people about 9/11. It'll be on my phone this year at Ground Zero. Remember, I think it's, 2008nowornever.com. You can go to that event. Fabled Enemies, Truth Rising, both going to be playing on September 10th. Alex and I will be speaking. And then there are events, obviously, on the 11th and after. So support the first responders. Come down to New York and help us out. Let's jump to Adam in Ohio. Adam, are you with us? You there, Adam?
Hello?
Yes, sir.
What's up, Jason? Good to talk to you, man. Just ordered Fabled Enemies this morning. Really
awesome.
Appreciate all the work that you do.
Thank you, man.
Got a couple things I wanted to mention to you. I thought you might be interested in one on the notion of, like, militarized police.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever heard of a company called Global Asset Tech Group?
I have not.
Chance? You should check them out sometime. Just Global Asset Tech Group, TAC.com. It's like a security firm, and it says on their website that they draw their expertise from current and former special operations personnel from the U.S., Israel, and other nations.
Mm-hmm.
And it says that they have a 5-day law enforcement, you know, American law enforcement training program in Israel. So I thought that was pretty interesting for people who doubt.
Oh, that Israel's a part of this? I mean, come on, not only that. I mean, first of all, you know, Israel is an intricate part because they are in Eurasia. They are our centerpiece in the Middle East right now. I mean, now that we do have Afghanistan and Iraq, obviously, you know, we have a little bit of an expansion there. But things like Blackwater are now opening up, quote-unquote, CIA-type wings. They're not just mercenaries anymore. They're opening their own private intelligence services. And that's what this sounds like to me.
Yeah, well, I just thought it's a good way for people who doubt it. You can just show them to the website and tell them, no, our police are being trained by special ops people, even from foreign countries, on foreign soil. So, you know.
Well, we had Aceveda in here, you know, the Austin Sheriff's Department, the head of the Sheriff's Department, admitting that they have these kind of programs where they bring in Israeli officers and all this other stuff. I mean, it's in the mainstream news, but people just don't want to own up to it. They don't want to see it as negative. They're like, oh, well, they're just sharing information and tactics. That's a good thing. No, they're getting ready to globalize. They're getting ready to join forces against we the people.
Totally. Well, it's just a concrete example for people who disagree. You can just tell them to go and read it from the horse's mouth.
All right, man. Go ahead.
You remember that big cyclone that hit Myanmar a little while ago? Did you know that there was a military exercise going on in Thailand right then? The same time?
It wouldn't shock me. I'm not one of the guys to get into all the HAARP stuff and, you know, whether the tsunami was engineered years ago or even Katrina. I do look at the evidence. It is compelling, obviously. Alex has had the father of, weather warfare on the show. I forget what his name is. Ben Livingston is his name. And, you know, literally back in the 70s, they were creating these storms in Vietnam. So the technology's been around for a while. HAARP is very advanced. There's a lot of stuff that's shrouded in mystery, but I wish that people would crack that mystery. I thank you for the call, Adam. Let's jump to the next caller. Let's go to Mike in Illinois. Mike, you with us?
Guys. You there?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Actually, I have a few things I want to touch base. First of all, how dare these guys bring up, after 7 years, the Building 7? I mean, come on. I mean, who do they think we are? I mean, I know we're dumbed down, but they
made a big
mistake.
Well, man, I'm going to play you a clip. Right before we have Shane Geiger on, where Wolf Blitzer tells you mystery solved. It's over. It's over.
And you know what? There was somebody earlier that said, "Well, we need a militarized civilian, I guess, group." Not to get into specifics, but I'm ex-military myself, and I have plenty of people who are just ready. For a peaceful revolution, so to speak. But, you know, if these guys want to push, well, I'm telling you, we can push a heck of a lot harder. And I'm just very thankful for you guys. I'm thankful for a lot of people who have helped open up my eyes, along with, I swear, every day I'm probably talking to at least one person a day and waking them up. And I work a lot with We Are Change Chicago. We do a lot of broadcasting and shows, personal shows with public access and so forth. And I just want to thank you guys as well. But, man, these guys are pushing hard, and we need to push back. So
well, they're just doing this because, again, right now we're in the last week of August, okay? September 11th is now less than a month away. It has been kept out of the news ad nauseum. September 11th was not mentioned barely at all this year. I remember the 5th anniversary, just like I predicted, was going to get a lot of media coverage. So will the 10th anniversary. But they want to put this information out there, kind of under the radar, not really have you think about it. You'll see a couple stories about the anniversary of September 11th, maybe the week of, but they're not going to give us our podium. They're going to try to keep it out of the public's eye that there is this big dissent in this country, that we do know that the government's version of what happened on 9/11 is a total bust. It's a total lie. For instance, this New York Times article that features Richard Gage in it, it tries to distort the issue by saying that, first of all, explosives were planted in the Pentagon. That's not a popular theory. I don't agree with that theory. On top of that, they say that only 1 in 7 Americans thinks that World Trade Center 7 was a controlled demolition. I have never heard 1 in 7. No, there's 16% were polled thinking that World Trade Center 1 and 2 were a controlled demolition.
Right.
We have 84% who don't believe the official version of 9/11. We have 36% that basically believe that the government not only let it happen on purpose, but helped it along. This 1 in 7 is just a total distraction, man, and it kind of makes me sick. Mike, I thank you for the call. We're going to be taking callers in the next segment, and then at 1 o'clock, the top of the hour, we're going to have Jonathan Ellenoff of We Are Change Colorado to tell you about the DNC event coming up. I am Jason Burmis, and you can check out all our good stuff over at Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. Folks, final segment of the second hour. Man, we just shoot through this show. I am Jason Burmis. I'm subbing in for Alex Jones. I'm going to be with you on the Sunday show all the way through Thursday while Alex reports live from the DNC, the Democratic National Convention. Man, talk about a busy guy. Not only is Alex going there, but then he's going to New York for the September 11th events. He's going to be speaking with myself while we show Fabled Enemies and Truth Rising the night before 9/11/08, the 7th anniversary. And again, you know, the media is being real quiet about this anniversary. They're also really quiet about how Thomas Keene travels the country now telling teachers and faculty how they're supposed to teach 9/11, because it is becoming more of a historic event that children are going to have to learn about. And God forbid they don't, you know, believe the official story. That's funny to me because my movie has been shown in so many high schools and colleges. You know, a lot of my friends are teachers and have shown it to their students. So, you know, I think it's going to be hard for them to put a cap on that. I think that a lot of schools are going to ban my films, which is sad because, you know, our films are so far the best attempt of truth that I've seen. All right, let's jump to another caller. Let's go to Richard in Texas. Richard, are you with us?
Hi, Jason. Just a couple of quick comments regarding weather and HAARP and that sort of thing. I think sure. It's been very interesting what's been going on with that tropical storm Faye. It actually formed an eye after it made landfall the first time, which is bizarre, and the way it's moved and all that sort of thing. And the other one other comment just quickly is with regard to all these players on the world scene right now. It's just hard to know how deep the rabbit hole goes, but whether it's Russia or Chavez, virtually us or all the key players with the exception of maybe directly Israel in the UK right now, this oil price thing has funded all of these guys. And, you know, the amount of money that's floating around in that and the ultimate impact on geopolitical issues is just hard to even figure how to get to the bottom of it. But now on to WTC7. I called Michael Newman this morning at NIST, mm-hmm. and got him on the line and told him that I used to be in the insurance business, insuring commercial buildings, which I did, And, you know, we must be in a whole new world now, and the insurance market should go berserk that this could happen and raise rates on these properties as a result of the ability of buildings to collapse in this fashion. And I said, you know, we're in a whole new world, aren't we? And he says, well, it was just, you know, an unusually constructed building with long spans in these beams and that sort of thing. And I said, that makes no logical sense. And I said, what about the molten steel at the bottom? Oh, first of all, he said, you guys, in speaking to me. And I said, look, I'm just a concerned American. I'm not a you guy. Don't group me into anything. But in any case, when I mentioned the molten steel thing, he says, look, I don't have time for this, and hung up on me, which was just an interesting experience.
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, they don't want to address the real issues. Again, their computer model, they didn't apply any physics to that. And they can, by the way. That's how these computer models work, is that they can apply, you know, physics and physical properties to things you design in 3D. This is how it's done. This is how engineering works now. They often build these computer models to see what's going to happen before it actually does. And they did nothing of the sort. They built these 3D wireframe models and animated a collapse. Richard, I thank you so much for the call. We're going to have Jonathan Elenoff on the other side. Don't worry, we're going to be taking your calls all day long, especially through Elenoff and Geiger. So call in. It's Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. Get Fabled Enemies today. It ships out September 1st. PrisonPlanet.tv, August 31st.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
All right, folks, we are back. It's the Alex Jones Show. I'm Jason Burmis sitting in. We're topping off the third hour of 4 hours of unadulterated, true radio, real radio. Not going to be talking about Britney Spears on the MTV Music Awards. We're not going to be talking about, you know, Christina Applegate getting cancer at 36, although that is a story in itself. Not so much that she has it, is that cancer is exploding in younger people. Gee, I wonder why. Could it be the cancer viruses they've injected us with in these vaccinations? Geez, I don't know. Could it be the poison they're feeding us again and again? Could it be all the fluoride in the water? Well, more than likely, folks. Oh, but dropping that subject, and again, we're going to be taking your calls throughout this interview, but we've got Jonathan Elenoff of We Are Change Colorado with us. He's just done so much to set up this Democratic National Convention. He was on the radio earlier today with Alex on the Peter Boyle's program against Recreate 68, a provocateur group in which Jonathan almost single-handedly exposed. He's also a good friend of mine, and he really knows how to put on an event. Jonathan Elenoff, how are you, sir?
Excellent, as always, my good friend. How are you?
I am excellent. Why don't you throw out the website right now so people can go there and check out what you got going on?
They can always go to wearechangecolorado.org. And on the site, we set up a DNC page where they can click the link titled DNC and find out everything we have planned for the DNC, our events, our park, our parade we have set up on Tuesday. We have a custom parade we have a permit for with big floats with replicas of the World Trade Center and everything. It's going to be one hell of a beautiful time out here for the DNC, and we want to get all the truthers out here, be present, and have a strong presence.
Excellent, Jonathan. Now, for those that don't know, why don't you tell them about the two screenings of Truth Rising? Luke Radowski, Alex Jones are both going to be there. And then that is the first day of the DNC, I believe, and you're going to have some merch down there so that if people want to be identified as 9/11 truthers or a tyranny response team, you're going to be able to provide that with them for the second day, correct?
Yes. So Monday at 7 p.m. and 10 p.m. at the Oriental Theater here in Denver. You can buy tickets online at theorientaltheater.com, or you can go to wearechangecolorado.org, click on the DNC link, and the tickets are available there. And we are screening Truth Rising. Alex is going to speak. Luke will speak. And, yes, we will be selling shirts, DVDs, everything, and just kind of preparing for all the events that we'll be following. You know, there's the DNC goes until Thursday, and we have stuff lined up every day. We need as many truthers out here as we can. If you know anybody out here in Denver, tell them about Truth Rising screening. Get them out here. If you know delegates or attendees or anybody you can get to this showing, get them here. Because this is the moment they can learn about the truth movement. We are a legitimate movement. We're a large movement, and we're growing. And they can see it, meet us, and learn about 9/11 too.
And, I mean, you got permits for the park that's only 1,000 feet away from the convention center. I mean, you've worked really, really hard to make this an event where our voices can be heard, where we can shatter the left-right paradigm, because a lot of people think that somehow Obama is going to save us all. He's changed we can vote for, and he, you know, he is the new savior. He is the new anointed one, and I think that we do need a strong truther presence out there to show, hey, we're not going to be fooled by this guy on the other side of the supposed spectrum.
Exactly. We're going to have pretty much everything set up. The park is the Gates Crescent Park. We're going to be there the entire time, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. We have the permit for it. And we're going to be congregating there every day with booths, tables, everything, tents, handing out information, flyering, bannering. And
all right, more information with Jonathan Ellenoff after this. Little Ennio Morricone, the Ecstasy of Gold, to bring us out. Infowars.com, PrisonPlanet.com.
T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
All right, folks, we are back. It is the Alex Jones Show. We are joined by Jonathan Ellenoff of We Are Change Colorado. I mean, this guy has done so much, folks. I mean, first he was confronting people like Mitt Romney and throwing it on the web. I mean, he's got truthalliance.net. He's a hell of a writer. He even blogs a little bit over at loosechange911.com. Some of our best stories come from there. But he's also a ground reporter. He went down to the detention camps at the DNC. He's the one that brought you that story. He's the one that brought you the story of the DNC drills. Although they said it wasn't for the DNC. Give me a break. Black helicopters, them throwing out little American flags wrapped in orange glow sticks and propaganda. I mean, we're living in some interesting times, don't you think, Jonathan?
Oh, to say the least. I also wanted to make an announcement that we also have, if you go to truthalliance.net, we're going to be streaming 4 live video feeds from the DNC. This is live. And people can get the embeddable player right there at truthalliance.net, and we will be streaming pretty much every day of the event. Now, for a lot of people who do not know this, even though Monday is the beginning of the DNC, Sunday there will be the End the Occupations rally downtown set up by a couple of the groups. They don't have permits for this, and this is the one that's been talked about for the last, 4 months or so that is controversial. They don't have permits for this. We don't know what's going to happen. They've been threatened with arrest. They're planning roadblocks. They're planning surrounding cars and stuff.
They're planning pure provocateur violence.
Exactly.
Okay, they're trying to incite a riot without any semblance of sanity. And I'm kind of surprised that they're doing this the last day. I think it might be because they won't.
Day.
Oh, it's the first day.
It's Sunday.
Oh, right. That doesn't shock me at all. Of course they want to do it on Sunday. They would like to do it so that they can cut off any kind of dissent after that fact. It's unbelievable.
It is unbelievable. And we just don't understand. We're starting to learn now what's really going
on. Let's elaborate on that a little bit. Number one, we're also going to be having streams all over Infowars.com that will be streaming live, so everybody's going to be able to see this. It's going to be on the web everywhere. People are going to be taking hard recordings, so whatever goes down, they're not going to get away with. But earlier in the day, you, Alex, and Luke actually debated one of the guys from Recreate 68, correct?
Yes, yes. And just to be clear, the articles are very, very clear. I wrote 3 articles about Recreate 68, RAIM-D, Unconventional Action, all the different groups, and I've always defended it with sources. It's well-backed. You know, we have recordings, we have articles, everything. And, you know, these guys are very upset because I was successful at breaking up their group. But the thing is they were setting up actions that were going to get protesters arrested. There's no real debate on this.
No, I mean, there's no debate. They had a shield book, Jonathan. They wanted people to show up in armor and to have shields and bring red paint and destroy cameras and destroy property and be a nuisance. They had no they had no reason for that other than to get people arrested and make us look like vile creatures.
Well, and they also had, they actually canceled, because of the article I wrote, they canceled one of the actions that they were planning, which was called Shake Your Moneymaker, which is a protest, as far as I know they canceled it at least, where they were going to surround the Denver Money Mint and attempt to levitate the building, and Glenn and all those guys were going to hand out bags with money symbols on them. And we didn't understand what the message was for this. This is a coin mint here in Denver. And we talked to the security guard there. If you touch or vandalize that fence or congregate around it, they can actually, like, shoot you, is what he said. And this is a serious facility. This is where money is stamped. Coin money is printed. And they wanted to surround the Denver Mint and levitate the building. And,
levitate the building. In other words, in other words, New Age nonsense to get people hurt. How ignorant are we? I mean, let's be adults and let's see what works. You know what doesn't work? Breaking the law. Okay? Obviously, civil disobedience is a good thing. It's been around for a while. This is uncivil disobedience. This is felonizing protesters. This is insanity to me, Jonathan. And I am just so thankful for people like you that exposed, you know, the masses to this, including myself. I mean, I had a friend call me up from Portland who I went to college with, one of my really, really good friends. And he's like, well, what do I do? He's like, well, my buddy is actually going down to the DNC this year with the Recreate 68 folks. And I go, whoa, Recreate 68. And he's like, yeah, what's up? And I sent him the website and I sent him the shield book. And he's like, oh my God. And he's like, this is terrible. And I'm like, yeah, it's terrible. I'm like, they're provocateurs, just like at the WTO in Seattle in 2000, you need to tell your roommate this. And he told his roommate, and he showed him the stuff, and his roommate was blown away. And, you know, they want a huge leftist presence there. I mean, obviously Rage Against the Machine is going to be there. The Flowbots are going to be there. The Coup is going to be there. A couple of those bands, obviously, I'm very enamored with and I like a lot. But they also stay in that paradigm. And I do remember the last time Rage Against the Machine through a concert, I think it was at the LA Convention Center in 2000, on behalf of the elections then for Al Gore, and it was just a rubber bullet barrage by the cops.
Right.
I worry about that.
We worry about it too. You know, they've set up big detention facilities here in Denver for mass arrest.
Mm-hmm.
And and the thing is some of these other groups like Unconventional Action are open on their website about property destruction. They totally agree with it in roadblocks, even though these are arrestable offenses. And the most important thing to remember is that, you know, these people are open about, you know, I'm not making accusations I can't source. They're open about it. It's all right there. People can look at it, and they can see with their own eyes.
It's downloadable, Jonathan. I mean, they've put it out there in the public eye, but because it's not parroted in the mainstream as something bad, and it's only heard kind of in the backdrop when Rush Limbaugh talks about saying he's dreaming of riots in Denver. Well, that's
and
a talking point.
It is. And it's all, what's funny about it is they dug their own hole here. And, with all these accusations being thrown around, the important thing to remember here is, you know, people cannot just look up this stuff online and see it right there, and it's all available, it's all sourced. But it all boils down to one thing. There's no way, and this is the irony of it, by the way, Jason, the Shake Your Moneymaker and some of these other events, one of them was to surround the federal courthouse and demand the release of political prisoners. Is it just a coincidence that the Denver Mint is catty corner to the police headquarters that's set up downtown? Is it just a coincidence that it's right next to, literally across the street from the Denver courthouse where all the court cases
where they can
be
process you in less than 20 feet?
Exactly. I mean, we're talking about, and that was one of the first things I noticed, is these actions were designed to not just rile up the protesters and get them all pissed off, but to put them at arm's length away from cops waiting right there. I mean, it was, we're talking about direct confrontation here. And, you know, I saw this 6 months ago, and I was pretty much the first person who blew the whistle on all of this. And I immediately put two and two together, and I saw two trains headed toward each other at, you know, 100 miles an hour. And it's pretty simple if anyone sees it. Now, I've been accused, like I was this morning, of lying and this, that, and the other, and they actually completely misquoted me about a bunch of stuff. The reality of the fact is I've stuck with my story the entire time. Everything's been set online. And, you know, if I wasn't telling the truth, I couldn't be held accountable for that. But the reason why they don't go after me is because it's fact. They're open about it. I was actually praised by the local paper for the work that I did. And the most important thing to remember is that not only did I get respected for what I did, Recreate 68 broke up. A whole bunch of their members created a new group called Alliance for Real Democracy. They broke away from Recreate 68 because they agreed with my article. They came out and said, yes, the name is Recreate 68. It sounds like they're going to recreate the violence. It sends the message of recreating the violence that happened in 68. It's a horrible thing, and that they needed to distance themselves from the groups. They created this new group, Alliance for Real Democracy. They did that because I was right, and they agreed with me. And what did they do? They banned We Are Change from being a part of Alliance for Real Democracy because we hurt the progressive relationship that they had.
Well, that's tough. So, it's too bad that when you want to tell the truth and you don't want to be put into this, again, false left-right paradigm, this false conservative liberal paradigm, this false, you know, you have to be for Barack Obama or you're against change paradigm, they don't want you to take part in it, Jonathan. Jonathan, exactly. The website is wearechangecolorado.org, correct?
Yes.
And all the information is there, correct?
Everything's on wearechangecolorado.org for the DNC. They can still get all my articles on truthalliance.net. And everything's been available since all this went down at the very beginning.
All right, let's take a couple callers. We got a couple ones holding. Let's go to Jameson in Florida. Jameson, are you with us?
Hello?
Hey, man, what's on your mind?
I'm down in Florida, and Faye just hit.
Mm-hmm.
And this, the continuity of government thing, it's really like a preview, I think, what we're going to see in the future.
Well, absolutely. I mean, continuity of government's been around for a while, and even in your state of Florida, on September 7th, you know, martial law was declared in 2001 before the attacks, and it went on throughout the attacks. And, you know, isn't it a coincidence that Jeb Bush is the governor of Florida and his daddy is the one that revamped the entire COG program?
Yeah, but, like, it's like what they do here with the flooding. Like, they let the drainage systems deteriorate,
mm-hmm.
and then they put up roadblocks, and they pretty much have a control grid on the whole city.
Well, obviously, and they're trying to control, you know, I mean, just look at Katrina. Whether you think, you know, they bombed the levees or anything like that, the police reaction was unbelievable. They literally warded them off at the bridges and would not let them cross, would not let food or water get to them. Why is that? It's because it's all about control. Jameson, thank you so much for the call. Jonathan, thank you for popping in. I know you got another interview to do right after this. We are changecolorado.org. I'm Jason Burmis of the Alex Jones Show. We'll be back after this. Nothing like a little funk to keep it going. I feel like I'm in like a 70s Shaft movie. It's the Alex Jones Show. I am Jason Burmis. We're about to have Shane Geiger on in the next segment. But before that, I want to play a little segment. And by the way, we're going to keep taking your calls all day long. I want to play a little segment from Terror Storm about Building 7. One of the many great documentaries that Alex Jones has put out that you can watch as a PrisonPlanet.tv member in super high quality. Let me tell you, I just encoded Fabled Enemies in all three versions for DivX. The small version, I think, is like 250 megabytes. The medium is like 440. And I think the large one is only 560. And it looks awesome. It is almost DVD quality. If you burn it to a disc and you play it on your TV, you're not going to know the difference. become a PrisonPlanet.tv subscriber. It's less than, I think it's less than 65 cents a day. It's so cheap. I mean, it's less than a cup of coffee a day. All right, let's listen to it. It is from Terror Storm, the World Trade Center 7 section.
It's amazing.
Amazing, incredible, pick your word. For the third time today, it's reminiscent of those pictures we've all seen too much on television before, when a building was deliberately destroyed by well-placed dynamite to knock it down.
We have the owner of the World Trade Center complex admitting on tape that he ordered the building demolished on the afternoon of 9/11.
I said, you know, we've had such terrible loss of life. Maybe the smartest thing to do is pull it. And they made that decision to pull, and then we watched the building collapse.
During our on-the-ground investigations in New York City over the last five-plus years, we've talked to scores of eyewitnesses who had claimed that police and firemen told them to get back from Building 7 because it was going to be brought down or, quote, explode.
Building 7, while I was listening to live feed from our local public radio station later in the afternoon, they talked about Building 7. Building 7 was fine. There was no airplane that hit it. And then they even began to ruminate on the air about demolishing the building. I said, well, I don't know. I mean, you can put out fires. You know, why would you talk about demolishing a building that, you know, it wasn't hit by anything? You know, the fires weren't bad or anything like that.
I will say that I spoke to a cop on 9/11 who said that it was going to come down. I don't know how he knew that.
Now, archived CNN footage has surfaced showing video footage of a New York City police officer telling cameramen and civilians to get back from Building 7 because the building was going to blow up.
We are looking back at the building about to blow up. On flame, debris coming down.
Just in the last few seconds, another building, building number 7, one of the buildings in support of the World Trade Center towers, has collapsed. This is no small building, as you can see, at 47 stories. It would stand out in most American cities.
And then, in late February of 2007, 9/11 researchers reviewing archives of live news coverage from September 11 discovered to their shock that BBC World had reported that Building 7, also known as the Solomon Brothers Building, had completely collapsed over 20 minutes before its actual implosion. First anchors at the London news desk reported it.
Now, more on the latest building collapse in New York. You might have heard a few moments ago I was talking about the Salomon Brothers building collapsing. And indeed it has. Apparently that's only a few hundred yards away from where the...
They then cut to BBC reporter Jane Standley in New York, who also reported that the Solomon Brothers building had fallen, all the while with the building clearly visible behind her through the window.
Our correspondent, Jane Standley. Jane, what more can you tell us about the Salomon Brothers building and its collapse?
Well, only really what you already know. Details are very, very sketchy. There's almost a sense downtown in New York behind me, down by the World Trade Centers, of just an area completely closed off as the rescue workers try to do their job. But this isn't the first building that has suffered as a result. We know that part of the Marriott Hotel next to the World Trade Center also collapsed as a result of this huge amount of falling debris from 110 floors of the two twin towers of the World Trade Center. As you can see behind me, the...
All right, folks, I think you get the gist. It's the Alex Jones Show. We'll be back with Shane Geiger after this.
Brother, brother, brother,
there's far too many.
I couldn't agree more.
You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving.
Just a little bit of loving. All right, folks. The Alex Jones Show. I'm Jason Burmis, the guy with nothing but love in his heart. And we're about to bring on InfoWars freelance reporter Shane Geiger, a guy with a lot of motivation, came down to the office last week in Texas. We are in Austin, Texas, folks. Said, hey, I'd really like to go cover this. Can you guys help me out with some press passes? And Aaron talked to him for a little while, and he said, you know, of course, you can go on behalf of us. We'll see what we can do. He then contacted NIST. NIST then contacted us to make sure that he was with us. The guy from NIST was actually pretty sympathetic and had heard of InfoWars. I was kind of shocked. And he went down there. I mean, it is no small trip from Texas to Maryland, and actually was at the conference. Now, we're going to play a CNN clip where they kind of cut him short, but they do acknowledge his presence, and they also acknowledge Loose Change. But according to Wolf Blitzer, it's solved, Shane. So we're going to go to that clip and come back to Shane Geiger. This is the Alex Jones Show.
I'm Wolf Blitzer. You're in the Situation Room. The Twin Towers of the World Trade Center weren't the only buildings that crumbled on September 11th, 2001. A neighboring building, the World Trade Center building number 7, also came down, but no one was sure why. Until now. Let's go to Deborah Farrick. She's working the story for us. Deb, what are the experts now saying?
Well, Wolf, there's a new report, and the findings come after 3 years of studying the collapse of Building 7 just across from the North Tower. This was done using complex computer models, detailed analysis, and eyewitness accounts. So why doesn't everyone buy it?
It has been a mystery since 9/11. Why did World Trade Center Building 7 collapse nearly 7 hours after the Twin Towers fell? Was it diesel fuel in the building? Or planted explosives, a controlled demolition of government offices, as conspiracy theorists allege in films like Loose Change. A team of scientists and engineers authorized by Congress says there's only one answer, and it's conclusive.
The collapse of World Trade Center 7 was primarily due to fires. This is the first time that we're aware of that a building over 15 stories tall has collapsed primarily due to fire.
Shyam Sunder, the study's lead investigator, says fires ignited by falling debris from the towers burned so hot they created a phenomenon in which steel and concrete floors failed, causing floors to buckle and a key column to cave.
For the first time, we have shown that fire can induce a progressive collapse.
Fires burned out of control on 6 of 10 floors in Building 7, where New York City's multi-million-dollar emergency command center had recently been built. And because the city's water main was cut when the towers fell, sprinkler systems in the building did not work. Still, conspiracy theorists and others were not swayed by the new findings.
I hear quite a number of bare assertions here.
Investigators say they did consider certain so-called conspiracy theories, but none held up.
Alternative theories are really, none of them have been found to be credible.
Fire expert Glenn Corbett analyzed the Trade Center collapse and says the new report could be used to make high-rises safer.
I'm hoping that the next steps will be to actually make changes.
All right, let's cut it. You know, and the end is a complete whitewash where they say, oh, we're going to try to make them safer. And the person who was talking about those bare assertions joins us. Thanks for coming on, Shane.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Well, absolutely. Well, why don't you just take us through it? First of all, the trip to Maryland, you drove, I assume?
No, I booked a flight last minute. One of the techniques that NIST was employing to keep people from, you know, showing up and criticizing them, apparently, was to, you know, publish the actual date and time of the meeting at the last minute.
So yeah, it only came out like a day and a half before the actual thing, right?
Day and a half, 2.5 days. Yeah, I think it was maybe Monday night or Tuesday night when I got the email about this. And I kind of mulled it over and decided, yeah, I want to go. But thanks to Brave New Books, the really awesome bookstore in Austin, where I've you know, met a number of nice people and discussed 9/11.
Yeah, Matt Connor's a really good guy over there.
Yeah, Matt Connor, Harlan, John, all great guys.
Absolutely. And I got to ask you, now you get in there, okay, because we only got you until 2 o'clock. Now, you were talking about the bare assertions. Now, they said that the fires were hundreds of degrees below what they first suspected could do anything like this. That's in their, like, a little official spiel. Then they also say that they didn't even have any steel from the World Trade Center 7 to test, correct?
Right, yeah, in NC Star 1-3, you can just Google this. They state that they don't have any of the World Trade Center 7 building steel. So, you know, they had some charts at the front of the room yesterday, and I was just asking myself, how in the heck is it that they drew these charts? You know, these are not actual, these are not actually based on physical evidence. These are just imagined Boeing trusses. So, mm-hmm. You know, there's so many bare assertions that don't have evidence to actually back them up, you know. When you do science, the idea is you do experiments to, you know, test your hypothesis.
Exactly. And this computer model that they did not apply any of the physics or physical properties of these steel beams to that. It was indeed just a computer animation. In other words, something that somebody had predetermined and then animated, not based on actual physics. Again, correct?
Exactly. Yeah, you can make a simulation do anything, you know. You can make a donkey talk, like, you know, this is the age
like
of
Shrek.
Hollywood.
Like Shrek. Yeah, it could be like Shrek.
Exactly. And so it's ridiculous to think that this is a proof. However, there are some bits of evidence that are being found in the World Trade Center dust that you can actually verify. You can go to the USGS website and see pictures of the iron-rich spheres, which are evidence of temperatures of 2,800 degrees Fahrenheit, you know, in excess of that. In fact, these are the temperatures necessary to liquefy iron. And the National Institute of Standards and Technology report on the Twin Towers, and apparently also the one on Building 7, state merely that the temperatures got up to roughly 1,100 C or 2,012 degrees Fahrenheit, temperatures that are merely hot enough to weaken the steel. But the problem is, you know, we've got some liquid iron, you know, this is the major component of steel. We've got this at the scene of the crime. And
on video, pouring out of the building, by the way. Not just on the scene of the crime, not just multiple.
Yeah, and they made the bare assertion concerning that. The video, the Peter Jennings broadcast shows it on nationwide television. You've got this orange metal flowing out of the South Tower minutes before it collapses. And they state in their FAQ... that, you know, this is probably molten aluminum mixed with organics or something else.
And it was absolutely disproven by Stephen Jones. There is no way that molten aluminum would have glowed that way, would have reached that far, far down without solidifying or given that kind of texture. It was completely disproven. And then the debunkers had to jump on that and say, well, if it isn't molten aluminum, it's got to be batteries from the building. I mean, these guys will say anything.
Right. Yeah, or throw the fly ash in there, or the other things for which they have no substantiating experiment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is so ridiculous. You see this over and over again. I like to tell people, you know, this is the way you can tell whether or not, 9/11 was an inside job. You see, you look with the scientific method, you know, at who's doing science, and you can see NIST, you know, is ignoring evidence. They're making claims about experiments that they didn't do, and later they had to admit they did do, and in fact, that's the brilliant work of Stephen Jones, Kevin Ryan, James Gurley,
and Kevin Ryan. By the way, we're going to have on Monday, and Richard Gage is going to be joining us at 2:30. I'm trying to get a hold of Stephen Jones, James Gurley. Actually, I'm a good friend of, and I actually did a screening out in Dallas a few months ago with him. He's a good buddy of mine. He's a very smart person, man. I mean, they're trying to put this together in a legal format, which they can no longer ignore. And they are having to back off certain things. Certain things they'll just straight up lie about, such as there was no loss of life in Building 7. But S.I.M. Sunder went to Popular Mechanics years ago and said they had evidence that 25% of the building, or 10 complete stories, had been scooped out of World Trade Center 7, where in this latest report, that is nowhere in the diagram, there is nothing scooped out, and they have had to admit that the damage caused by World Trade Center 1 and 2 and their collapse had little to nothing to do with World Trade Center 7's collapse.
I'm kind of thinking, Jason, that those photos, the videos, and whatnot that NIST is holding hostage for $19,000 might shed some light on all of this. But, of course, you know, we're not so likely to see that unless we cough up at least $19,000. You know, the upper limit is whatever they decide it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a lot of money to pony up to when you're an individual guy like me that's lucky to make that in a year, you know, and has to struggle and work 40 to 60 hours a week just to do that. But they do that on purpose because they want the slave class to just shut up and accept what they say. I mean, literally, Wolf Blitzer is on there saying, mystery solved! Well, I'll give Deborah Farrick a little bit of I'll give her a little bit of an up. She's the one that came out to our house and interviewed us a couple years back. She was rather sympathetic. She's one of the few reporters that even put in the alternate hypothesis, that even dared put you on the TV screen, that dared to mention loose change. And she was the one that actually did contact us to tell us that they were doing this news story. So, you know, a little bit of a shout-out to Deborah Farrick. I hope you come around even further. I understand you work for CNN, and it's highly corporatized, and there's only so much that you can say, but please keep trying to bring the people some semblance of the truth. All right, we've only got like 15 minutes, so I want you to describe what happened when you actually asked a question. I remember you mentioning yesterday that they shut the lights off on you.
Yeah, I know what's going on here. And so when I booked this flight, I knew there was a chance that I wouldn't get to speak, you know, that they'd be reading the question. They asked me to actually send the question in the day before so they could preview it, you know, just to make sure that I don't ask anything they don't want me to ask.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was sitting there in this presentation, and I heard time and time again the most outrageous lie about finding no explosives, you know, which implies that they looked for explosives.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just pulled up in my notes the exchange of information between Dr. Jones, Kevin Ryan, James Gurley, and others, with NIST concerning the experiments that they had supposedly done under the Data Quality Act. You are allowed to submit a request for correction to a federal agency if you have some reason to suspect that information is wrong, you know, some information that might affect, for instance, how you build buildings or something like that. And so anyway, the Data Quality Assurance Act was the means by which Jones, Ryan, and others got this admission from NIST that they didn't do any experiments.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, this was, you know, this didn't hit the mainstream press at the time. It's, you know, an outrageous thing to make statements that, you know, you didn't find explosives when you didn't look for explosives. And I was sitting in the room yesterday with, you know, people from the mainstream media, you know, all the big groups, and, you know, these people heard what I said, and they did gather around after the meeting and talk to me about this a little bit, but I saw their reports today, and they didn't follow up on this, so I'm going to contact them. I'm going to see if I can get them to see this correctly, but, you know, I realize these people were there as, you know, career reporters.
So oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Something on the line, yeah.
Oh, there was no way that they were going to try to crack the case. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, let me ask, when did they shut the lights off? That's what I got to know. Like, were you in the middle of the question? Yeah. All right, go with that.
So just after the blurb that you heard on CNN, where I said there were a lot of bare assertions, I mentioned the beams, you know, the graphics that they had on these charts at the beginning of at the front of the room, and then I started into the information I had on the Data Quality Act request, you know, and NIST submission, I believe it was a little. There's a bit of a pause in my presentation, and somewhere along the lines there, the light went off just a little bit, and I paused. And then, in the middle of the Data Quality Act request portion of my presentation, I quickly looked forward in the room. I saw two people off to the side. Waving their hands. Their arms were fully extended.
Oh, God forbid you try to tell the truth.
No, the cover-up. hey, Shane, I want you to finish the story, but I just popped by the office, and I'm going to leave. This is Alex Jones popping in. I was just listening in the car when I pulled to the office to you and Jason talking about how Wolf Blitzer is saying, this is it, case closed. Same thing with they announced for a whole day, case closed. We're going to show the plane at the Pentagon. Case closed. And they show some white blur. It's like they want to keep it going or something. And listen, we need to get Paul Watson or Kurt Nemo or somebody now to do a headline about NIST you know, NIST backs off a false claim of 25% of the building scooped out, because that's another big deal. And we need to just point out that this is another complete collapse of what they're doing, and the fact that they kept backing this off and off and off. But listen, I'm going to get out of here, but Jason, just make sure somebody does a story on this, because I'm seeing all the other rundown stories. They're really not going over that.
No, that is a big thing. They literally said a quarter of the building was gone, and now that's retracted. And he said that they tested for explosives, but if you watch the official NIST 3-minute video, he simply says, well, the explosions that would have had to occur for a controlled demolition would have set off major decibel levels. And those decibel levels were in none of the actual videos or eyewitness
accounts. But they are. Boom, boom, boom.
I know, you can hear it, and I'm sure.
Listen, bottom line, Cy Hirsch now comes out and says Cheney was planning to blow up her own ships, confirmed. You know, Gulf of Tonkin, all this stuff's coming out. They're criminal murderers, and they're not going to stop. And I want to tell all the debunkers something, because I woke up this morning at about 6 a.m. thinking about this. I know I've said this before, but it really came home. It really hit me. I almost came in today just to talk about this. Yes, I did. And it's that, my God, we've got former Italian presidents and German defense ministers and members of the parliament in England and
Japan
and Willie Nelson and governors and all these people. And they all had the courage to come out and say it was an inside job. And we've defeated the bastards. The majority of people, I mean, it's now common knowledge on the street. I want all the government debunkers and all you scum that work for the New World Order to know, you really have failed, bastards. And now people understand false flag terror. Rush, the top Russian general, number two, general comes out and says NATO's planting false flags in Georgia, dressed up like us. I mean, the cat's out of the bag. Your little favorite toy of murdering us and posing as our saviors is getting broken down, is getting defeated. And so I am just so excited. And listen, Chan, I'm going to give you the rest of the time. It's just finish up with them waving and no.
Yeah. I love how you put things into context historically. That's so important for people to, you know, grok.
But think of how far we've come. Yeah, grok it. Think how far we have come. Think of what we've done. People say 9/11 truth. You know, it's hit the end of the line. No, that's government propaganda to make you think. And people, I guess the war's over. I'll go home. It's bigger than it's ever been.
Meanwhile, they try to insert ridiculous theories like no planes, bombs everywhere.
I mean, none of it's going to work. Look, yeah, exactly. They're onto your crap, murderers. It's over. I'm leaving. I'm going to get ready for Denver. Denver, you're doing a great job, Jason. And you are too, Mr. Geiger. All right, well, just come back and finish up your story. No, don't say it. I'll cut the lights off. No. Ah!
Little Fight Club background music here at the Alex Jones Show. I am Jason Burma, subbing in for Alex. Alex just popped in. We are in the final segment with InfoWars freelance reporter Shane Geiger. And Shane, I really hope that you write an editorial not only about this subject, but about your experience. I mean, literally trying to get no independent media there by announcing it a couple days over. It doesn't stop you. You still get on a plane. They still want you to submit your question. Doesn't stop you. You submit your question. You get in there. You get to ask your question. They turn off the lights. It still doesn't stop you from getting some mainstream coverage. So I think that, you know, you have a very unique perspective. We want to thank you from, you know, all of our hearts over here at InfoWars.com for doing what you're doing. In the next 5 minutes, why don't you just give me a wrap-up of the whole experience?
Well, gosh, I'm flattered. Thanks so much. And you know, I do have more to say on this. I wish I had your video editing skills. I really have some things to say. I'm just kind of bursting. I talk about this with people all the time. I think it's really important for people to realize that 9/11 is really not the past. 9/11 is what created what we have today, you know, with the passing of the Patriot Act, the Military Commissions Act, all these sorts of things. So I think it's, you know, I really love what Alex does with, you know, gosh, I love Terror Storm. Great film. And, you know, I think it's important for people to see the historical context. I think it's, you know, it's, I mean, who of us really wants war with Iran and Russia? You know, especially not nuclear war.
Not anybody who has any sanity left in their brain. But
exactly, right. Yeah, I mean, the people that want this, they're like, you know, these rats that have some virus or something in their brains, you know, and they want to be...
Well, they're so far removed from the quote-unquote slave class because they truly do believe that they are better than us, that we are chattel to be willed to their desire. And they're the ones that are trying to you know, kick off World War III. They're the ones that have used 9/11 as this pretext to end America. And you're right, it is an ancient history. Our entire foreign and domestic policy right now in this country is based on the events of 9/11 and the way that the government and the mainstream media told us it happened. It is the Patriot Acts. It is the Military Commissions Act. It's the fact that we can't even sue the government or the private organizations that wiretap us illegally. I mean, these things are all real. They have progressively gotten worse in this country. And with privatized mercenaries, like I talked about in the first segment, we are in big, big trouble.
Oh, yeah, Blackwater, yeah. I really want people to realize that it's important right now to look at 9/11 truth. The physical evidence is my favorite starting point, because there you can know there's something absolutely wrong here. And I, you know, at the very end of the conference yesterday, I think if you can hear what I said in the webcast, I haven't actually had the time to watch it myself, but if you can hear it, you can see that I was not attacking anybody. I mean, I was saying he was making bare assertions because he was, and you know, he had every opportunity to rebut me, and instead he didn't say anything. So, you know, at the very end of this, I was surrounded by reporters talking to me, and I talked to them for 10 or 15 minutes and something like that. And then I saw Dr. Sunder was still standing in the corner talking to some people. So I got my video camera, and I walked over to this guy, and I started videoing him a bit. You know, I kind of went there just to see what these creeps really look like up front, you know, or in person. I wanted to see what it looks like.
Feel the evil.
I wanted to see. I mean, this is kind of a cool thing, you know. I mean, this is a work of art, you know, from the perspective of the evil people that did this kind of stuff and that are taking part in the cover-up. Mm-hmm. So I just thought this is going to be very interesting. So
it's a Machiavellian masterpiece for those guys.
Yeah, Machiavellian, exactly, beautiful. So I went over there, I got some video of this guy, and, you know, eventually
we need you to post that video, send it to Aaron at Infowars.com. I want to thank you again, Shane. You know, we need more people like this guy that are willing to get a press pass, ask an intelligent question, be a part of the press. It's Infowars.com, PrisonPlanet.com. Remember, Fabled Enemies, September 1st. We are strapped in over at PrisonPlanet.tv with a live video feed. You can see my little ugly mug before I get braces next week, I guess. And a lot of other great stuff. PrisonPlanet.tv, it's great. I mean, you get every single Alex Jones documentary. And you get to see Alex's crazy eye in the video camera right now. Joining us for the next half hour is the InternationalForecaster.com's own Bob Chapman. Oh, Alex. I love it when he stops by. And really, I want to get his take on global events from, Georgia to Russia to even this new NIST report on WTC7. Thanks for joining us, Bob.
Well, thank you for having me again.
Well, it's always a pleasure, and you've become quite a regular on the show because you have such great analysis. I really want to get your take on, the last week's activities with Georgia and Russia. I mean, the mainstream media is still saying, you know, Russia attacked Georgia, they're the aggressors, the bear is back. Meanwhile, there's been a slight de-escalation in the fighting over there. Where do you think this is all headed, Bob?
Well, first of all, Georgia, or I should say the United States and Israel were the attackers. Mm-hmm. And when Russian forces were brought in, they ran. I don't know about the Americans and the Israelis, but I know the Georgians ran. And so they invaded.
Yeah, they invaded South Ossetia. There's no doubt about it. A little 12-year-old American girl went on Fox and said, hey, we were in South Ossetia. Georgia attacked us. It's pretty much admitted in a lot of these mainstream articles, but it's during the bottom or the middle of the article, and then they just blatantly say that Russia is the aggressor no matter what.
Yeah, you're right. And that's unfortunate, but it, in a way it's fortunate in as much as the public knows different, and all they're doing is losing more credibility. The question is where we're going. Well, first of all, this is going to put a dent in NATO. I don't think that Georgia is going to be an immediate candidate for NATO. I think NATO has lost a lot of credibility by standing by and allowing this to happen. the Russians were peacekeepers, and it was blatant invasion what went on. I mean, I can't think of what they were thinking of in Washington and Tel Aviv, never mind in Georgia. And so I think other nations in the area are going to be more reluctant to deal with the United States, NATO, Israel, Georgia, etc. And so Russia is going to make big inroads. Last Saturday, I can't think of the name of the country, but they Turkmenistan signed a deal with Russia to send their natural gas via Russian pipelines. That was the gas that we'll call it the American Consortium wanted to send through Georgia south to Turkey, Sion, and then on to Haifa. And so the second pipeline for gas is kind of out of the question now. Now I understand that Kyrgyzstan wants to divert their oil from the way that they're shipping it through Russian pipelines as well. And so that's oil that will not be coming down through the Caspian Basin that could have been eligible to the other pipeline.
Well, is that going to affect the price here in America,
sure.
Bob? You do believe it's going to affect the price here. Well, I want to get your take on that and a lot more on the other side. Remember, folks, Fabled Enemies drops at PrisonPlanet.tv first on August 31st, and the DVD ship out on September 1st. Get ready for my latest film. I'm excited. Infowars.com, PrisonPlanet.tv.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are back. It is the Alex Jones Show. I am Jason Burmis, sitting in. It's one last week. I'll be here till next Thursday, and then it's back to New York for me. We're going to be covering the DNC with live feeds over at Infowars.com of Alex Jones and others on the Infowars team. Really looking forward to it. But right now we're talking to Bob Chapman of the InternationalForecaster.com, and we were talking about all these pipelines and how America seems to be losing control of these pipelines. And you think that this is going to affect the price of gas in this country?
No, I really don't. There's multiple sources. It'll affect the ability of oil companies from the Netherlands, England, France, and the United States from getting more supply. And that could be an issue with all the problems that are going on in Nigeria and the diminishing exports of oil from Mexico. But I don't think at this point all of that is a factor in the big picture of oil. And so I discount that. Oil, it's the fundamentals more than anything else. Yes, there has been excessive speculation, and that's been taken care of by the market itself. Mm-hmm. And part of that was the inability of speculators to continue to be able to borrow as much money as they'd like to. And that's called a deleveraging process. And it was natural that a correction should have taken place. Unfortunately, they took gold and silver down with them, although they have rallied back somewhat, as have the commodities. But I think both groups are looking for a bottom in here, and I had previously said I expected somewhere between 1 and 120 on oil as a support level, and I think that's what we're getting. To go on with the situation with Russia and others, I think Russia was underestimated. I don't think that Zbigniew Brzezinski thought that Russia would move on Georgia, which they did. And they are showing no fear, if you may. And I think the relationship with NATO is over. I think the Israelis are going to suffer from this, in as much as the Russians were very cooperative in helping them try to discern what was going on in a nuclear basis with Iran, and that'll all be shut down. So Israel isn't going to have that opportunity in the future because of their actions and the aggression that occurred by Georgia. They had been training and supplying weapons along with the United States for the last 6 years. And their efforts didn't turn out too well because they had as good as equipment in Georgia, if not better than what the Russians had. I think that foreign policy is going to change tremendously. I think Europe has seen that the U.S. has gone off with Israel and what I would call another cockamamie idea, and they made fools out of themselves again. And Europe saying, hey, you know, these guys supply one-third of our gas to Western Europe. I don't think we ought to go along with these insane ideas anymore. And so I think America has lost great credence with the Western nations in Europe, and Europe's concerned, and they should be, not only because of the gas situation, but Russia is a neighbor, and if things get nasty, they're going to get hit first. I think this could lead to the breakup of NATO as well, and maybe something would replace it, but I think NATO is pretty much done for.
So you think that
I don't think
break
most
up?
People have seen that yet.
So you think NATO is going to break up? Why? Because it's surrounding Russia on the U.S.'s behalf right now, and now we have this conflict? I mean, do you see a restructuring of that Russian region altogether, South Ossetia, Georgia?
Well, that could be. That could happen. It all depends on how hard the U.S. pushes. Mm-hmm. Like if in the Ukraine, at Sebastopol, if they decide, Ukraine decides to put some heat on Russian shipping, which they have a 17-year lease left, then Russia's just going to take them over. They're not going to fool around with them. And any other
and you don't think someone like NATO
country in the
involved.
Area that causes problems, they're going to move against them.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I was
talking the U.S. and with the help of these NGOs, which is these fronts by George Soros, those are non-governmental organizations, they've really corrupted the political system in many of those former Soviet countries. And the Soros and the CIA, et cetera, MI6, have been able to essentially appoint their own people to run those governments. And that's going to change because I don't think that the people in Ukraine are going to want to tangle with the Russians, nor in any other Baltic state. And so I think the Americans have lost credibility. I think NATO will break up. I think the Americans are going to be asked to leave Germany. And so there's a lot of things going to happen through the stupidity of these people.
Well, so do you think that this is really just another indication of the decline of the American empire? Do you really think that that America is not going to go kicking and screaming and try to set off another, attack or another conflict? Or you really think that they're just going to back off?
Well, I think there's a good chance of another conflict. There's several spots, and Kosovo is one of them. Mm-hmm. It's a transit point for narcotics from out of Afghanistan by the CIA to Western Europe and the rest of the world. And that could be a catalyst. You could also have an eventual extension into Iran, but I rather doubt it. I think that just the winding down of what's going on in the Middle East is going to hurt American foreign policy. But I don't really look at things in that light. I look at them in the light of who's behind the scenes running the show.
Mm-hmm.
And it's obvious, even though you hear all of this thunder and lightning about Barack Obama, the Illuminati wants Mr. McCain in there. And it's very important to watch out for who the vice president candidate will be. And if they are elected, Mr. McCain is an elderly man, like myself, I might add. And he might be asked to step down, which he would, for this vice presidential candidate. So it's very important who this candidate is, whether they can control that candidate or not, or whether they have to go the assassination route like they did with John Kennedy and others. And so it's very complex, and it's hard to reach out into the future and come up with solutions or answers, because there's so many things that could happen, but they're all bad, and that's unfortunate. And so I see Russia becoming a greater industrial, economic, and financial power. And they do hold a lot of U.S. Government securities, probably something in the vicinity of about $160 or $170 billion. There are others like China who own more, but that's a pretty heavy hammer. And as you just saw, China used overage athletes in the competitions in some of the categories, and quickly the others at the competition said, "Oh, no problem. We believed what China's telling us." And the real reason behind that is that the China probably told them, "If you don't shut up, you're going to eat a lot of paper." And so they've got a hammer over the United States financially as well. And I think America's in deep trouble. And the world is, for that matter. And the adversaries will be the BRIC nations, which China, Russia, India, Venezuela, and so on.
Well, we talked about China really early in the show, and I'm glad that you shifted gears there. I really want to get your take on where China is headed. I mean, we had Benjamin Fulford on in the first hour, and you know, he was defending the military police state that is China, you know, that they don't have a separation. He was denying that they were still harvesting organs there. He said that they were on the verge of ending one-child policies. Obviously, China is being introduced to the rest of the globe through having the Olympics there this year. What is your take? I mean, are the Chinese emerging? Is this it? Are they the next dominant power in the world?
Could be, but they're emerging as a communist power. Mm-hmm. And the people who are in the party make all the money. And they're going to continue to do the dastardly things that they've done in the past. Not that those, quote, capitalists that we see on Wall Street are any better. Mm-hmm. But the point here is that they are what they are. And they're going to continue to harvest organs and have one child. And that's understandable for them, because the population is so large and the ability to feed and allow them to work is difficult. And the reason China has emerged, I think the main reason, is to bring down the economies of Canada, the United States, and Western Europe to the level perhaps halfway down to China, and China moves up halfway. And
so relegating everybody to a second-world nation, right? Instead of a third-world nation, they ring us down.
Well, we'll all become second-world nations, if you want to put it that way. Mm-hmm. But the second reason is free trade and globalization. All the transnational corporations will take Walmart, General Electric, particularly IBM. They're making a fortune on this export from China to the United States, or India to the United States. And that's the second most important reason. And that's what's going on, is going to continue to go on unless we stop it. And how do you stop it? You stop it through legislation, implementing a reassessment of our policies in trade, and implementing tariffs on goods and services. And that's the only way we're going to stop it.
All right, we'll be back with you for one final segment. It's Bob Chapman of the InternationalForecaster.com, Infowars.com, PrisonPlanet.com, PrisonPlanet.tv. Folks, we're back. It is the Alex Jones Show. I am Jason Burmes. And before we go back to Bob Chapman, I want to play a little trailer, the second trailer from Fabled Enemies. Remember, folks, it comes out to PrisonPlanet.tv subscribers in super high quality on August 31st, and we will be shipping DVDs the next day. If you want to join us in New York City on September 10th, we're going to be showing both Truth Rising, Alex's film, and my film, Fabled Enemies, and we'll both be there to speak. So without further ado, let's play the clip.
Fox News has learned that some American terrorism investigators fear certain suspects in the September 11th attacks may have managed to stay ahead of them.
Some U.S. investigators believe that there are Israelis again very much engaged in spying in and on the U.S.
Whether it's because they are in intelligence services or what they were doing, I will defer to the Department of Justice and the FBI.
That there was a report on the George Washington Bridge that there had been a van stopped there that had explosives.
We have a suspect who is driven from going to van and then exploded.
Amdocs Limited, an Israeli-based private telecommunications company. It is virtually impossible to make a call on normal phones without generating an Amdocs record of it.
It quickly unraveled to be the largest foreign spy ring ever uncovered inside the United States, the largest.
Documents say they, quote, targeted and penetrated military bases, the DEA, FBI, and dozens of other government facilities.
There's one big elephant in the living room. It is the relationship between the United States of America and the State of Israel.
What about this question of advanced knowledge of what was going to happen on 9/11?
Well, it's very explosive information, obviously. A bigger question, they say, is how could they not have known?
All right, folks, there it is, Fabled Enemies. And now jumping back to Bob Chapman of the InternationalForecaster.com. Bob, why don't you tell people how they can get your newsletter and all your information, and really in the next 4 minutes, sum up what the average citizen can do to prepare for these coming events?
Well, the International Forecaster is about business, finance, economics, and social and political issues. We publish on email on Wednesdays and Saturdays, around 30 pages each time. And we also have a hard copy that goes out twice a month as well. If you like free introductory copies, you can go to our site. That address is theinternationalforecaster.com, theinternationalforecaster.com. If you'd like to email us, that address is international_forecaster@yahoo.com, international_forecaster@yahoo.com, or toll free 800-375-4188, 800-375-4188, and you can get your free copies. What should we be doing in what respect? Financially?
Just to prepare. I mean, not only financially, but I know that, you know, we support storable foods on this show. It just seems like the price of everything is skyrocketing.
I gotcha.
Yeah.
First of all, I want to say one last thing. The reason for what you saw in Georgia was a distraction. And the distraction was because the economic and financial condition in the Western world is dreadful. And they needed to do something, just like they did with Iraq when they did it, to get people's minds off watching their budget, their inflation, their lack of buying power, et cetera, and get it focused over in Georgia, and it blew up in their face. So I just wanted to fit that in. I am a great believer, and have been for many years, of having dehydrated, freeze-dried foods, filtered to clean water, a method to defend your family, and I think that's very, very important. It's very important to get rid of your credit card debt, in particular, of all debt, revolving debt, your automobile debt if possible, and then if you have money left over after having done that, then you can think about investing in gold and silver-related assets. And that's my take on it. I am very suspect of the banking system. I think there's going to be lots and lots of problems. We have three sites that we recommend. If you email us, we'll send you the sites so you can look into the condition of the bank that you're in. And that's very helpful for people. And I think it's a very basic insurance policy to do these things, and if everything goes okay, then that's fine, and you can eat the food and probably gain a lot of weight.
Yeah, absolutely, and you know, you're only going to save yourself some time and some heartache. I mean, obviously, we are a nation that is just totally and completely dependent on debt, and the way to protect yourself is to get yourself out of that debt before these terrible things do occur. Bob Chapman of the InternationalForecaster.com, thank you so much for joining us. We're going to have Richard Gage in the next and final half hour. It is the Alex Jones Show. I'm Jason Burmes. I'm going to be here through Thursday. Remember, Fabled Enemies at Infowars.com right now.
Hey,
Hey, Jason.
Yes, sir.
We do have Richard Gage.
Excellent.
Okay.
And joining me is one of the founders of Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth, one of my friends, Richard Gage. He's done just an incredible amount of work to try to expose the lie that is 9/11, especially in the field of controlled demolitions of 1 and 2 and 7. And now we have this official NIST report, which literally flies in the face of reason. I'm sure that you tuned into the press conference yesterday, Richard. Let's just get your take off it, off the bat.
Yeah, I sure did, Jason, and it's great to hear your voice again. The NIST laid out the official story that we have thermal expansion of long span beams that broke their connections at specifically at column 79 on a few floors, leaving it unbraced for 3 or 4 floors. And then, of course, it collapsed, and then causing north, south, and east, west progressive collapse that brought the whole thing down like a house of cards in about 6.5 seconds. And that's the official story. Brought the 47-story skyscraper brought down to a pile of 4 stories due to normal office fires. No contribution by the collapsing debris from North Tower, no contribution much at all from diesel fuel fires. These are normal office fires, which for the first time in history have brought down a skyscraper due to fire. Never before, even though we've had longer lasting, much larger, and much hotter fires, we haven't lost one skyscraper, and all of a sudden this one is completely leveled, symmetrically, smoothly, with a sudden onset, not characteristic at all to destruction by fire, which is a gradual process, asymmetrical collapses when they occur in wood frame buildings, very characteristic of classic explosive controlled demolition.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I just want to head back to 2 points that they now had to admit that the diesel fuel tanks, which was the initial, explanation on the news that these fuel tanks ignited, they exploded, and that's what brought it down. No way that had anything to do with it. Then they go on, Popular Mechanics' little hit piece before they wrote their book and said that they had photographs and video that no one else had, and it showed that 25% of the building was scooped out up to 10 stories of this skyscraper. Now, they've recanted that statement and now said that the damage caused by World Trade Center 1 and 2 had little to no significance on this building actually falling. Now, they also admit, which just shocks me that more people aren't picking up, they didn't have any debris from World Trade Center Building 7 to actually study, and this was all done with computer models. But from what I've seen of the computer models, it's not like they put in a steel beam with the physical properties of a steel beam. It looks more like, to me, they built a wireframe based on the blueprints of the building and then just animated it in a way that it would support their hypothesis.
Yeah, that's what it sure looked like, and the animation that they showed us in the press conference yesterday was not even it didn't even complete. They just showed kind of the initiation of collapse around column 79. They didn't show, and perhaps they couldn't show. I don't know. The whole building collapsing. It's interesting that once again we have a stopping at the initiation of collapse, like they did for the Twin Towers. So they said, admitted later, they have no explanation in the Twin Towers how the progressive collapse happened. They can't explain the whole collapse.
No, instead they invented a new term called global collapse, which they used for the first time ever in that 10,000-page NIST report on 1 and 2, and now have used again in this new report on World Trade Center Building 7.
Yes. And they didn't even mention that the building came down at virtually free fall speed. In other words, there's 40,000 tons of structural steel in this building designed to resist its load for the life of the building.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, in order for this building to come down at free fall speed and symmetrically, what you have to do is take out all the columns on a given floor within a tenth of a second of each other, and then synchronistically timed floor by floor. If your timing is off by fractions of a second, controlled demolitions begin to fail. They tip over because the law of nature is such that mass falls toward the path of least resistance. And there will always be, in a natural, organic process, such as a fire collapse, a puff falling to the side because of that.
Yeah, it's just insane that it would go through the path of most resistance. And in that model that you're talking about, you can actually watch that on YouTube. NIST has put together a 3.5-minute video on behalf of themselves, of course, and then they're showing pieces of that in the CNN footage. But like you say, this central column apparently, through thermal expansion, detaches. I believe it was on the 17th floor, they said, or 13th floor. One of those floors. And then 13th floor, yeah. And then the sides of that center start to collapse in. And like you said, they don't show the facade of the building or the entire structure fall down. But they say that because it was the internal structure first, that's why you see the roof line go. And then that pulled the facade of the building down with it. Now, I've seen fires of just a small steel-reinforced building. It came out about a month and a half ago. I think it was about 5 or 6 stories long, where the facade of the building does fall off due to fire, but that's only the concrete and the actual floor. The entire base of the building, in other words, the steel structure, remains standing, Richard.
Yeah, this is an engineered process. It can only be that. Now, wouldn't we have chemical evidence of cutter charges in an explosive-controlled demolition? Yes. It turns out that Dr. Stephen Jones, physicist, finds in the dust this evidence. And before we get to that, because he's looking at the molten metal found in the basements of not only World Trade Center 7, but 1 and 2.
Mm-hmm.
So where does all of this molten metal come from? Seen by the World Trade Center structural engineer Leslie Robertson himself, seen by structural engineer Abu Hassan Astani, who had unfettered access to the Freshkills landfill, and seen by numerous first responders, they said, flowing like lava from a volcano.
And not to mention Ken Holden
astonished.
Before FEMA. I mean, Ken Holden at the FEMA hearings literally talked about the molten metal dripping from Building 6. Okay, this was in that entire ground zero area, and we know that molten metal, especially steel and iron, cannot be formed from jet fuel fires or fires that are less than 1,800 degrees. In fact, it takes around 2,800 degrees Fahrenheit for this process to begin, correct?
Yeah, that's when steel begins to melt. But this molten stuff is easily 3,500, 4,000 degrees. And so where in the world could that come from? Well, first, they deny that it even exists, the molten metal. John Gross denies that the molten metal exists. He and Shyam Sunder yesterday didn't even address the issue. So the dozens of witnesses. Well, we have photographs of it. Where could it come from? Well, one unusual cutter charge that can be used to be placed in a linear-shaped cutter charge device is thermite, and in this particular patented device, it can eject in millionths of a second. Very, very high-tech stuff. And it turns out that its byproduct, thermite, is molten iron. And it turns out that this is not melted steel. It is molten iron that melted through the steel beams, the ends of which were horribly corroded, as documented, actually, by FEMA in their Appendix C. In their report, which came out in May of 2002, that report specifies that they have very little faith in their best hypothesis. It has only a low probability of occurrence. And so by the time that report came out, though, they
they had scrubbed the steel from the site systematically. 99.99% of the steel, structural steel from World Trade Center 7, was sent to China for recycling. This is this is against the law, basically. This is a crime scene, and this is illegal removal of evidence.
Yeah, it's a heinous act of treason. Yeah, it's a heinous act of treason so that no real independent investigation can be done, where they can give you, basically put out on an AP wire before the building even goes down, the official reason why it's going down. And now 7 years later, that reason has been confirmed with literally no science. For instance, they said they looked at the possibility of explosives being used at the World Trade Center to bring it down. However, in their little three-minute video, they said that that was discounted because there was no videotapes that showed the decibel levels that would have been possible to bring this building down. Now, we know if they used these thermate or thermite cutter charges, the decibel levels wouldn't have been that high.
It's quieter. Thermite is an incendiary. Now, and so they said that, well, it would be a bomb that would be 10 times the loudness of a rock concert. Well, we're not talking about a bomb. We're talking about hundreds of cutter charges, very high-tech cutter charges, which don't leave behind wires and blasting caps and traditional
things. That's right.
Things.
No deck cords, no blasting caps. So that disinformation that was on the History Channel last summer where the guy's like, well, we didn't find no deck cords, no blasting caps. Well, thermite takes care of that, doesn't it, Richard? Oh, don't tell
me
you
just dropped off. Yeah.
Oh!
I'll call him right back.
We'll call him right back. I mean, this is from the horse's mouth. Richard Gage is a very dedicated individual. He knows what he's talking about. He has gone through a lot himself. This is a personal odyssey. People don't do this because they want to believe it. They do it because it is the right thing to do. In light of this evidence, we know we have been lied to about 9/11. And again, our entire foreign and domestic policy has been set up based on this lie. And World Trade Center 7, folks, it is the smoking gun. It's what I carry around on my phone. Most people still don't even know that it went down, okay? They don't know what it's housed. I mean, when you have the largest CIA base outside of Langley, Virginia, the largest Secret Service office in the world, the FBI, the SEC, the DOD. Let me explain. Kroll does not run security on that building, okay? A national security apparatus does. So if this thing was brought down in a controlled demolition, and all, I mean all, of the evidence shows that it was, it can only be members within our own government that did this. Richard, I'm sorry they cut you off right there. Please go right back to where you were.
That's okay, because I didn't need to hear what you just said. The architects and engineers for 9/11 Truth are not conspiracy theorists, and so we don't point fingers. We just ask for a real investigation, which would, if it were under oath and with subpoena power, appropriately commissioned, we would have answers to the kinds of questions that you're raising.
Did we drop him again? All right. Well, I guess that we just can't get Richard. Listen, we'll try to get Richard on sometime next week. Apologize to him for our phone difficulties. But Richard Gage, architects and engineers for 9/11 Truth, they are really top of the line. I guess I'm going to try to take phone calls then in the last 15 minutes or so. Let's see who's dropped and who hasn't. First in line is Rachel in California, if she's still there. Rachel, are you with us?
Yes, I'm here.
How you doing?
I'm fine. I just had two quick things I wanted to say.
Sure.
One, I'm the person that made the petition for you to get on the Howard Stern show.
Oh, excellent. Sure. I contact you on MySpace every once in a while. You do a lot for this movement. You do what you can. You take your personal power and try to pursue the truth.
Well, thank you. Well, anyways, I just wanted to give the URL to so people can go there and sign it.
Mm-hmm.
The easiest way to get to it is just to go to my website, and it's freewebs.com/California911truth.
Give it out again.
Okay, it's freewebs.com/California911truth.
All right, thank you so much, Rachel. I'm going to jump to the next caller. Let's jump to Sherry in Texas. Sherry, are you still there?
Yep,
still
here. Hey, I just wanted to point out that if you don't, you know physics, which I don't know physics. I'm terrible at that kind of thing. And a lot of Americans are just really bad at science and being able to understand all this stuff. Mm-hmm. If you don't understand that, then you can even just look at the economic factors involved. Who owned those buildings. I'm not going to say any names, but, you know, who, if you look it up, you'll know who owned those buildings and who was, you know, if you follow the money, you can kind of figure things out.
Well,
but,
sure. I mean, Larry Silverstein takes out a $200 million lease right before the attacks. He has a $20 million clause for terrorism. He ends up pulling in billions.
Right. Exactly. And also, they only set apart, $16 million to investigate the buildings, you know, just falling from fire for the first time ever in history. And then for Homeland Security, they got, billions and billions and billions of dollars.
Because they have to set up the infrastructure. They don't want an actual investigation.
Like George Carlin said, they don't investigate themselves.
Absolutely.
They don't want to.
And that's from Life is Worth Losing. Or actually, that's from The Confrontation. But in Life is Worth Losing, he just goes through the whole thing. He says, listen, this is a big club, and you and I ain't in it. And it's the same big club they beat us over the head with every day to tell us what to believe. I thank you so much for the call. Let's jump to Eric in Wisconsin. Eric, are you still on the line?
Yeah, he did drop.
We did drop him. All right, let's go to Helen in Florida. Helen, are you with us?
Yes. Does no one remember on PBS Larry Silverstein actually saying, "I thought there's enough death. I decided to pull the building"?
Well, we played that clip earlier today at a terror storm, and I'd also like to point out that in the recent BBC documentary, They had Larry Silverstein's quote saying, you know, the pull of the building, and they showed part of it. But then they talked to Chief Daniel Nigro, and he said, look, if he was talking about pulling the firefighters, he would have had no say. He would have had no say in what I do with my department. So he debunked Larry Silverstein's lie that, in fact, they were pulling the firefighters. No, he was talking about a controlled demolition of the building. He slipped up on national television. Thank you for bringing up that point, Helen. All right, let's jump to Jeff in Minnesota, who may be our last caller of the day. We got one more segment after this. Jeff, what's on your mind?
All right, I got a couple things I want to plug right now. One thing that's going on, Dennis Kucinich, he's trying to get a million signatures to bring to Congress.
Is that Kucinich.us?
That's Kucinich.us.
Kucinich.us. Everybody needs to go there. Kucinich.us, Kucinich.us. I've plugged it before. He's a great guy. Stay on the line, Jeff. I'm going to let you plug your other stuff when we get back. It's the Alex Jones Show. I'm going to be here with you till Thursday. Remember, Fabled Enemies drops August 31st on PrisonPlanet.tv.
Jason?
Yeah.
Did you want to bring up Richard Gage again? He just called back in.
Yeah. Let me just finish with Jeff, and then I'll give Richard Gage the floor at the very end.
Okay, excellent.
All right, sounds good.
Thank you.
All right, folks, we're back. Richard Gage called back, so we're going to give him the floor at the very, very end, the last 2 minutes, to talk about how you can get involved in this whole thing. But right now we've got Jeff in Minnesota. We've given out Kucinich.us. That is in support of the impeachment, I assume, Jeff?
Yes, it's impeachment, persecution, everything he's been fighting for. I mean, his little slogan is make December, the day before the world changed, the day the world changed, December 10th. September 10th, he wants to get that the million signatures. So, and the other thing, I'm up here in Minnesota, so we got the convention coming here, so we're going to get a little taste of the police state pretty quick.
Oh, absolutely.
Quick.
Well, you also have the Ron Paul convention, so I really think that a lot of things can be done. I got to let you go because I have to go to Richard Gage, but I encourage anybody that is going to that Ron Paul convention or just to the RNC to man up with a camera and get ready for some thick and hairy stuff. I don't think they're ready for as many people are going to show up to this alternate convention with Jesse Ventura, Ron Paul, Amy Allen, and others. All right, we've got Richard Gage back on the line. I'm sorry we dropped you twice, Richard. In the last couple minutes of the show, why don't you just tell people how they can get involved? I know that you're constantly looking for more architects and engineers to join the cause. Tell people how they can do that.
Yeah, it is so easy to do something relative to 9/11 truth
The American people have to be woken up, and we've made it pretty easy. If you go to the website, ae911truth.org, all people have to do is download this letter, this three-page letter that I've written, and attach it. It's a PDF. Attach it to an email that your listeners, that I'm asking them, all of you, to write an email to every architect and engineer that you can find, attach this letter, and say, hey, I'm not technical. Please review this. Why are there 435 architects and engineers demanding a real investigation when there's only a half a dozen to a dozen that actually support the official conspiracy story? Please check it out and let me know. That is easy. We also have the DVDs online at our website. You can listen to it. You can purchase it. We have materials, cards that you can hand out to people on the street, banners that you can put out in front of architecture offices, architecture schools. It says hundreds of architects and engineers demand a real investigation. It's extremely important that Americans wake up, because if we are promised another and far worse 9/11 by members of the Bush administration, the media, and the Congress. This is extremely disturbing. We've witnessed, as I mentioned, the controlled demolition of our democracy through this legislation, such as the Patriot Act, the Military Commissions Act, the forthcoming Homegrown Terrorism Act. We cannot afford to wait any longer for the next 9/11 and whatever legislation it might bring under the guises of a false flag attack. Will it be Iran? Will we lose an aircraft carrier? Let's not wait. Let's wake people up to the reality that every war has started with such a false flag operation in order to bring us in.
And we have to use this new report as fuel to the fire, right, Richard?
Yes, this report, as ridiculous as it is, from NIST on the World Trade Center 7 collapse by normal office fires, can be used, and people will not buy it. They need to be shown that this 47-story building was brought down symmetrically at freefall speed.
All right, Richard, thank you so much. It's Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth. Remember, the rebroadcast comes in at about 90 seconds. We had Benjamin Fulford, Jonathan Elinoff, Shane Geiger, Bob Chapman, and, of course, Richard Gage. We went over the World Trade Center 7 NIST report ad nauseum. Barack and McCain going down to Ground Zero. Infowars.com.